about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
The following program contains material that is just too cute. Viewer discretion is advised.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I'm sorry, I'm thinking about cats again. I think about how many don't have a home and how I should have them and how cute they are and their ears and the whiskers and the nose. I just love them, and I want them, and I want them in a basket, and I want little bow ties. I want them to be on a rainbow, and just in my bed, and I just want a house full of them, and I just want us to roll around.
And now...
Damn, that's cray-cray in a good way right there.
Our feature presentation.
Is there any way that girl grows up to help society? Contribute?
Maybe work at a shelter?
Anyway.
No. I don't think it was real.
I hope not.
I don't think it was real.
I hope
so
not.
She's probably contributing society right. By making laughs.
All right.
Fantastic.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 14th of July.
This is the day, I guess I should mention, that we've been waiting for 9.5 years. Today's Pluto flyby, you guys. Pretty exciting,
it
Allie.
Is.
You have to admit,
it
the science of it is pretty breathtaking. Even Kevin will admit that the fact that we can take something that takes 9.5 years to get somewhere that's over 3 billion miles away and basically pass through a 60 by 90 miles patch of space to take photographs of a planet, I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Don't be so boring.
Look, here's the thing. If you have that technology and you're going to do it for 9 years, don't go to Pluto.
Well, Pluto is
go
the...
someplace good.
You what's, know?
What's
maybe,
wrong
maybe a
with...
planet.
Pluto...
Maybe go to a planet.
Pluto is the last unexplored planet in our solar system.
And by this planet, is... you mean rock.
This is a pretty big deal. I mean, we have been, for 50 years now, we've been going out there and trying to see what our solar system has to offer.
All right, but seriously. Just for a second, because I know that Bean loves Pluto.
Well, because
sure.
Pluto's the best planet.
Sure, and I'm sure everybody has their favorite planet. But how many people do you think really care about Pluto?
Millions.
Millions?
Yeah, I do. I think millions of people care about Pluto.
Would
I think
you
this,
say,
is a major, major story
would you
in
say
the world of science.
Thousands?
I would say millions. I would say millions of people care
would
about
Pluto.
Would
you say hundreds?
I would say millions of people.
You know, I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Tell me you won't look at the photos of Pluto that come back.
I won't. I don't care.
You will. You'll want to see what it looks
like.
Because it's been a tiny
little
blurry blob.
Me?
Up until now, it's been a blurry blob. We've never known what it looks like. Now we do. And it's 5 moons we're going to get a good look at, too.
Is there a chance when we look at the photos there will be an alien flipping us off?
Yes.
So, Kevin.
Now I'm in.
Right?
Now
so.
I'm in.
There
not
is
so.
A chance of that. Anyway, it's very exciting.
Oh, my
stuff.
God. Who the hell cares?
America cares, Kevin.
Has America been cares. Waiting 9.5 years, Bean?
Yes.
No, they haven't.
Since the
no.
day it launched.
I'm not saying it didn't take that long. I'm saying America hasn't
America
waited that
has
long.
Been on the, yeah. the edge of its mm. seat waiting for the today to finally happen.
Nope.
So you right. can reset your countdown clock, or how are you doing?
I don't know what I'm going to count down to now. I mean, this was really all I was living for.
It's the end of your life.
Oof. This could be, I could just lay down and take a long nap now that this has happened, you guys. This was like this was the furthest thing out on my calendar. Now that it,
you all right?
I'll be okay. Just excited about the photos tonight, that's all. I was watching live at NASA
shut
TV.
Shut up!
Okay.
Just shut up!
Hey, considering how much I love Pluto, I think I've done a pretty good job of keeping this pretty quiet for the past few weeks as it's been getting closer and closer and more exciting. I've been bursting at the seams, and I haven't been inflicting it on anyone.
It has been getting more and more exciting. That is true.
Yes.
Man.
That's what I'm saying. And I just want you to know that for a guy who loves Pluto like I do, I haven't been bringing it into work much. So don't tell me that I can't read a room. Okay?
You can't read a room.
I can, but today, of all days, today,
you say America has been looking forward to this day for 9.5 years.
Yes, that's true.
No, I would say the scientists that are doing it probably didn't care between, like, year 2 and year 6.
That's ridiculous. That's insane. Well, I'm just saying, congratulations to New Horizons. Congratulations to NASA. It's very exciting.
Cool pictures.
Quite an accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of, it reminds me a little of a waste of time. Mm.
That's true. Is that your story? That's what you're going to go with?
I mean, I have other things, but I feel like in the interest of time, we should move on. Yeah.
All right. All right, good. I'm happy
about
that.
In the interest of time, a man that waited 9.5 years. Okay.
Well, that's my clock. Now I'm on everybody else's clock, too. Sure.
Nope, you're probably not. But okay, I appreciate the effort. All right, listen, El Chapo, that's a thing.
Oof.
New news since you left yesterday, Kevin. I've been obsessed with El Chapo. There's a reward out for the capture of the Mexican drug cartel leader who escaped from prison over the weekend.
Yep.
It is $3.8 million.
Now, this is a major drug dealer, right?
Yes. Most wanted man in Mexico.
Doesn't that sound a little low?
$3.8 million for a civilian to catch him?
Well, yeah.
I think that's one of the highest ransoms. They're not called ransoms. What are they called? Rewards that I've ever heard for an escaped prisoner.
Who put the money up?
He's a drug lord.
The Mexican government.
Yeah, but he's not the one who's putting up the money, Kevin.
No.
He's rich. He's not the one who's putting up the money.
I understand that. I'm saying the amount of damage that he does. Mm-hmm. Compared with how much money they're putting, you know, for his capture, just seems a little cheap. So you're just going to let him drive on by if you see him then?
3.8.
What's 3.8? Why lasso him for under $4 million?
That's wrong.
Then you got taxes out of that.
That's right.
Barely worth my time.
Basically bring home about $150.
What is it? Hey.
It's not worth it.
Jeez.
Steven Twitch Boss will be here.
He's amazing.
He, of course, is in Magic Mike. And also, So You Think You Can Dance. He is amazing. We have the Bachelorette Report.
By the way, if there's no dance-off between you and Twitch, then we're not doing it right.
Dude, I don't want him to leave here upset, you know?
Yeah.
Like, bummed. I don't want him
He comes in thinking it's just going to be a good day, and then you just, boom.
And then he starts questioning, like, what am I doing? If he's doing that, what am I doing?
Yeah.
All right.
So
you're doing it to save his feelings.
Right. I feel bad for him.
All right.
We told you the other day that Beer Mung was... is getting married. He's engaged.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a new business venture. And maybe you heard us talking about that as well. He is now an Uber driver. And he had
so now none of you can ever use Uber again.
Can you imagine if he shows up? Is there a thing on Uber, because I haven't used it that much, where you can go, somebody else?
Yeah.
There is. Okay.
Yeah, you can cancel a ride.
Even if it's right there?
No. Okay. You get charged. But I asked yesterday, I said, can we request you?
Good idea.
Because I thought, I don't want to do that, but it would be good for a story.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the conversation that goes on in that car?
Aww.
Mugs will talk to any person for the rest of their life if they will allow it. He just will not stop. But anyway, he had a pretty rough weekend as an Uber driver, and it included some throw-up. So there's that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
Hey, K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015 is on, kids. At 9 o'clock this morning, we give you a chance to qualify for the Life is Beautiful. I really consistently have trouble with the name of that festival. And I don't know why. They're very easy words.
Life is Beautiful
Festival, which is happening in Las Vegas with Imagine Dragons and Kendrick Lamar and Hozier and Snoop Dogg, Weezer, Def Cab, so much more. Again, 9 o'clock this morning, we give you a chance to qualify. And then Monday, we do the grand prize drawing, find out who wins the trip. Good morning, Ralph Garman. How are you, sir?
Good morning, boys and girls. Speaking of things ticketed, how about some tickets for the K-Rock screening of Pixels?
Yay!
Pixels.
Does that sound like, of all the movies in the world, Pixels should be animated?
See what he did there?
When you think of the word pixel, though, don't you think of animation? I do.
I think of video games, really. That's what I think of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think of boobs. Got to pixelate them.
All right.
Got to keep them pixelated.
I'm not sure that's how that goes.
Oh. No. Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Michelle Monaghan, Josh Gad. Aliens misinterpret video feeds of classic arcade games that we send up into space as a sign of friendship. They think it's a declaration of war. So what do? They take our video games and they weaponize them and they make them massive and they send them back down to Earth to conquer us. So who can help us but the expert video game players of the 90s have to step up and conquer the video games that are attacking our planet.
Hey, that could happen, man.
Looks good to me.
Based on a true story. It happened. You guys didn't know, but it...
They kept that under wraps?
Don't you remember the big Donkey Kong fear of... of 2010?
I don't know.
Happened? That one night when that thing happened.
I remember that, no.
Anyway, if you'd like to go, we're having a special K-Rock screening of Pixels. July the 22nd at the Sony Studios lot. You get to be right there in the lot where they made the film. If you want to go, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that particular phone number get a pair of passes for the K-Rock screening of Pixels. And if you don't win, don't despair, because Pixels is in theaters everywhere July the 24th. So a mere few days later, boom, it's out in theaters everywhere.
What was your game, Ralph? Did you play any games at that point in those early video games?
The arcade uh-huh. games? Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a bunch of ones that I really liked.
But was there one?
Centipede was a big favorite.
That you were the king of?
Tron.
Tron.
Tron. I crushed Tron. Tron. I just owned it. I just owned Tron.
I liked Frogger.
Back to you, Ralph.
Why does that not surprise me?
No?
Frogger.
What's wrong with Frogger?
The weakest of all the arcade games.
Oh, sorry, Tron.
Bloop.
Bloop. You're jump. You just jump on freaking logs.
Sometimes a lily pad?
Ugh.
Wow.
I owned Pong.
Sure.
I owned it. Like,
right.
I was the best there was.
Nobody owned it. Nobody was the best there was. Because everybody moved on from it as quickly as they can.
That was the last great video game. Is Pong.
Galaga. Galaga.
Galaga.
I was the emperor.
You were the emperor of
Galaga? I was, yeah. I was like a Jedi Knight.
Asteroids was always a strong choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest. I used to love Dragon Quest. Remember Dragon Quest?
I don't remember that.
The ostriches would lay eggs and turn into dragons and whatnot.
I don't remember that.
That was a good time.
And I'm the geek for being excited about Pluto, by the way.
Yes.
Talking about Dragon Quest.
Yes. Millions of people care about Pluto. We're talking worldwide?
We're talking within the sound of our voice, Ralph.
Oh, you are the highest. You are most high. When he said millions, that's why I said maybe worldwide. I mean, was there how many billion people on the planet Earth?
Seven.
Maybe worldwide you could scrape together.
Seven people.
A million out of all that who give a rat's ass about Pluto.
And six of them are working at NASA on this project.
But beyond that, you're hard-pressed, I think. Find anyone who cares.
How dare you?
Well, it's just science.
It is science.
All right, let's talk about some show business news. This will make you angry in the morning. This will get your blood pumping. You know, Scott Disick, the drunk mess that knocked up Kourtney Kardashian three times, and then she said, he doesn't seem like a stable person.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody saw that from the beginning. He was a zero from day one.
He was a drunk dick from the beginning. Now that she has ended his relationship with him, everyone was hoping, well, maybe this will be the end for Scott Disick. Maybe he'll just end up broke and drunk in an alley somewhere drinking out of a Sterno can. But no such luck.
I hope that's the case.
I do too, but no such luck. His contract on Keeping Up with the Kardashians is ironclad, so that even if they don't use him on the show...
They still have to pay him?
He gets $4 million per year.
What?
No. Unacceptable.
What?
So if he falls out of favor with the family and they don't want to use him on the show, he's still getting paid.
When I was in Vegas for the World Series of Poker, I saw a giant billboard with him, his face.
I know. He gets promoted at these clubs. They hire him to promote these club events.
Just him, and then it was just the
Disick.
Date. Yeah. I was like, what's happening? These people really think he's somebody.
I guess people show up. They must, or else why would you do it, right?
Right.
They pay him, who knows, $200,000 or whatever to show up for a nightclub?
They probably get him for cheaper than that.
I don't know, son.
$4 million a year, Ralph. That's not possible.
Look, nobody's,
pretty sweet deal.
Nobody's less happy about it than I am. But there you have it. You ready for Sharknado the Musical?
Yes.
Sharknado the Musical.
Yep. Wait, who's doing it?
Sharknado the Musical, Kevin.
Who's doing it?
On stage. On stage. Sharknado the Musical. Listen, I understand you enjoy the Sharknado films.
I do.
All do. We've got the third one coming up this summer. We're all very excited.
Right.
But a stage version of Sharknado?
If it's in the right hands.
I hope they let Sean Connery write the songs.
Me too.
Me too. Apparently, the screenwriter for the movie series, whose name is Thunder Levin.
Nope. That's nobody's name.
Thunder Levin.
Nobody's name Thunder.
Says he has thought about adding songs
to the plot. Kid.
That's right. He said, I've been proposing that since the first one became a hit. We could get some Broadway musical guys to write the songs and the music, but you have to let me write the script. He says he even has the perfect title for the show. Sharknado, The Great White Way.
See?
See, because that's what they call Broadway.
See?
The Great White Way.
And
there's a shark known as a great white.
Is it too early for me to pull my support?
Nope.
You're in. You already said you're going.
You are in. We got you. You're one of the investors.
That's too bad.
You bought a table.
What?
You bought a table for $10,000.
I didn't.
Yes, you're already there. Today's celebrity birthdays. A lot of good people born today. Jane Lynch, for example. The actress from Glee, of course. 55 years old today. You ever watch that Game Night, Celebrity Game Night thing she does?
I don't.
Very fun show.
Is it good?
Very fun. Our buddy from Tenacious D, Kyle Gass, celebrates his birthday today. Love KG. Jackie Early Haley. Nope, not early. Jackie Earl Haley is 54 years old today. Matthew Fox. Remember him from Lost?
From Lost, yeah. What's he been up to, Ralph?
What's Jack doing? I think he's in purgatory now, if I'm not sure. I remember
no,
he got with his friends in the church,
oh, okay.
And then they all walked off the plane
the
into
the
mist.
TV series.
I don't really remember anything more than
Nobody
that.
Knew what it meant.
Scott Porter's 36 years old today. Dan Smith, singer for Bastille, is 29. Dan Reynolds, Imagine Dragons singer, is 28. And Conor McGregor, he had a pretty good weekend.
Yes, he did.
And now he gets to celebrate. He's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
How about a pair of deluxe annual passes for the Disneyland Resort? How about that?
Sure.
For free.
Si, senor.
Talking about a full year at Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks for you. If you want to call us right now, you will have to earn these tickets at 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. But if you're a fan of Disney, and who isn't, and especially their movies, we got a game we want you to play. 1-800-520-1067. Call now to go to Disneyland.
Let's talk about El Chapo. El Chapo.
Drug lord. El Chapo is means the shorty. Did you read that far, Kevin?
I did, yeah.
They call him the shorty because he's only 5'6", but he's one of the most terrifying drug lords in Mexico. He is a cartel leader, and he escaped from prison again over the weekend.
How many times has he escaped? His second?
Second or third.
And this
I know
is
he's pretty good at it.
Maximum security prison.
Yeah.
And I wonder, and I haven't read the specific details about who may or may not have been involved in his escape, but clearly you don't dig a mile-long tunnel under the prison by yourself. So does he just have so much money that he can just bribe everybody who works at the prison to help him get out? You think that's what he's doing?
Absolutely.
I would guess there are some people at the prison, but probably the people on the outside that are tunneling in. I mean, this tunnel had electricity.
Yeah.
This was a sweet tunnel. How long must that taken?
Yes.
I mean, that must have taken a year or two.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a tunnel digger, but I'm just saying it seems like to put in electricity and some sort of, what was it, a motorcycle type just to get out? I mean, the thing was beautiful.
It was. It was very nice. It was the best infrastructure in the whole country. But El Chapo has become a little bit of a folk hero. We've talked about it before in the Kevin DeBeach Show. He's the guy who goes into a restaurant and pays for everybody's meal. He does that sort of thing. You know, he loves to throw his drug money around and take care of people. But on the other side, you cross El Chapo and he'll kill you. And he's on his Twitter account, by the way, threatening other drug lords in Mexico, talking about how he's going to take him down. And here's what's great. He says he's coming after Donald Trump, too.
So he's on the run from the authorities because he just escaped from a maximum security prison. And he's on Twitter.
Yes, that's right. He's talking about how he's going to make Donald Trump eat his words. There's no jail for such a big midget, he says to Donald Trump. So he is a colorful character, and I'm very excited that we have him on the phone. He has disguised his number, so we can't tell exactly where in Mexico he's calling us from. But El Chapo joins us on the Kevin DeBeach Show right now. El Chapo, welcome, sir. Buenos dias.
Hola. How you doing, fellas?
We're good.
Well,
thank you.
We're fine. How are you enjoying being on the outside again, sir?
I'll tell you one thing. It's better than being on the inside, you know?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, for the record, there are a lot of people who are very critical of the way you run your business, but Kevin and Bean have no problems with you, El Chapo.
Well, I appreciate that because I like the support you give me. Mm-hmm. Not only by buying my products, which I know you do, you're a customer, but also for this whole thing. And it's great to be talking to you.
Now, we were talking about the tunnel and how...
Yeah, how about that tunnel, huh?
That's really impressive.
It's a good tunnel.
Now, was it all people from the prison that helped you? Was it outside? Was
well,
it a mixture of
both? I can't tell you that, first of all. I can't throw them under the bus.
Right.
Okay.
The autobus, as we say.
Right, sure.
But I have friends... And those friends helped me out. That's all I can tell you.
Right.
It was like a hell of a tunnel, I'll tell you. It was nice, air-conditioned.
It was air-conditioned?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
It's a little chilly down there. I had to wear a sweater. And we had a motorcycle to take me back and forth in the tunnel. And it was a good tunnel. I missed that tunnel. It was good.
Where are you now, El Chapo?
I'm in another tunnel.
Another tunnel.
Yeah, I had to stay under the ground so people can find me.
Mm-hmm.
So I stay in another tunnel, and this tunnel is also a good tunnel. Hold on one second, actually. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I get that one,
bowling?
Baby. I had a good feeling. When I left my hand, I felt good about that one.
Are you bowling in the tunnel?
I'm bowling in the bowling alley in my tunnel, yes.
Wow.
Hold on a second. I'm going to hop in my golf cart. I'm going to go down to the jacuzzi. I feel like I take a little jacuzzi. Emma, how's it going, Emma? This is my wife, Emma, down here.
Oh, hi, Emma.
Good. Hi, Emma. They say hi. She was Miss Guava.
Right.
Yeah, she's very attractive.
Beauty queen.
Beauty queen, yeah.
See the guavas on her? That's a pair of guavas right there, my friend.
I would not have mentioned them to you, sir, but I'm glad you noticed them.
How could I not notice them?
Now, El Chapo, I have to ask. It seems like you would be pretty busy evading the authorities and trying to run your powerful drug cartel. How do you also have time to call out Donald Trump on Twitter?
Well, I'm a multitasker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Donald Trump, he's really ticking me off.
Right. He's saying a lot of bad things about your country and your country's people.
He is a blonde milkshake, this
That's guy. What you've been calling him, yes.
Yes. And the big midget's going to come after him and make him eat his words.
Uh-huh.
And his hair. I'm going to make him eat everything.
So that means you're going to make your way into the United States and track him down?
Oh, yeah. I'm coming for him, that blonde milkshake.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink his milkshake. Hold on a second. My serve.
What? Now you're playing tennis in a tunnel? How big is this tunnel?
Backhand. Forehand. Yes. That was in, man. That was in. Hold on a second. I'm going to go down to the arcade.
Man, you play short games.
Well, look, I always win. For some reason, they always let me win.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah. No one's arguing with El Chapo.
I'm going to get high score on this one, I think.
You play a video game now?
It's pinball.
Pinball.
Oh, yeah. Tilt! What do you mean, tilt? You're not freaking tilt? I hate this game. I'm sorry, where were we?
Well, I was just Kevin was asking you if you're going to come into the United States to go after Donald Trump.
Yeah, as soon as the heat, as they say, comes off, you know? Right now, a lot of people are looking for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I got
to stay down here in the tunnel.
Now, do you have tunnels in the United States?
Oh, yeah, I got tunnels, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know the thing called the Metro?
Yes.
Yeah, that's mine.
Wow.
I didn't realize you own that?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I'm just letting you use it. You can go back and forth if you want, but when it's time for me to come, I'm telling you, it's going to be hot. Hot time in the old town tonight.
Very impressive, El Chapo. Well, good luck. We're all rooting for you with the Donald Trump thing.
You're playing ping pong?
Yeah, a little table tennis. You know, just to keep the hand-eye coordination good.
He is
so when I go
life,
to kill Donald Trump, I got good aim, you know?
Sure.
I'm going to get on the Ferris wheel now, I think.
Ferris wheel?
Yeah.
How tall is that tunnel?
Hey, look, I can see my jacuzzi from here. Anybody got the cotton candy? Where's the cotton candy? No cotton candy? What kind of tunnel is this?
Twitch joins us next hour in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show from Fox's So You Think You Can Dance. Very excited to talk to him, by the way. He's a very impressive young man. Kevin, you got to do a dance-off, though.
Look, everybody's
been asking you because this is we've been dreaming about this for for years now.
It's where you shine, really.
It's where you shine, yeah.
Look, he's a guest.
Don't back away from that opportunity.
He's a guest. You don't invite a guest in and then show him up. That's not okay. cool.
All right.
You guys don't know anything about dancing.
I guess not. Well, you're dancer die still, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Hey, how about a pair of deluxe annual passes for the Disneyland Resort? We're talking about a full year, kids, at the happiest place on Earth, plus Disney's California Adventure Parks, with a game that we like to call the Walt Vault.
It's the Walt Vault.
I don't feel like Omar put much work into that.
Kevin, the callers are on the line. How does the Walt Vault work?
We're going to play a clip from a Disney movie. You have to identify it.
Well, that sounds easy.
That's it. We play a clip. You identify which Disney movie it is.
All right. So you go into the drawing if you get it right. Allie McKay, would you please keep track? Because we only have one pair of Disneyland Deluxe annual passes to give away. Who's our first contestant?
First is Ryan in Anaheim Hills. Hi, Ryan.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We are good. Thank you. You ready?
I sure am.
Here's your Disney movie.
You could have been seen by one of those barbarians, by one of those humans.
Daddy, they're not barbarians.
They're dangerous. Do you think I want to see my youngest daughter snared by some fish eater's hook?
That would be The Little Mermaid.
Yes!
Nicely done.
That pause just got...
Sophia.
Oh, good for you. Good for you and Sophia. That pause went on a little too long for me to have faith in you, but congratulations, you pulled it out, Ryan. Hang on, you're in the drawing.
All right, let's go to Tony in Riverside. Hi there.
Yeah, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. You ready?
Yeah.
Here's your Disney movie.
Miss Fairy, give him another chance. For my sake, will you?
Oh. I'll forgive you this once. But remember, a boy who won't be good might just as well be made of wood.
Well, how can you get that one? Is there how is there any clues in there for that one?
That would be Pinocchio.
Pinocchio, yes. Nicely done. All right, let's go to Robert in Pasadena. Hi, Robert.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Two out of two, no pressure.
No pressure.
Here's your clip.
Those scoundrels, they stole the puppies. Police! Help! The puppies! Police!
What, 1,001 Dalmatians?
I'm
sorry, 101 Dalmatians.
101, yeah.
Yes, there you go.
He added some Dalmatians, but all right. You're in the drawing. Congratulations.
Boy, these folks know their Disney movies.
Yes, they do. Let's go to Fernando in San Fernando.
What are the chances?
I get that a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's a little shocking. Okay, here you go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You built me. Remember that?
And you're alive?
Yeah, I think so.
He's just like the one we built as kids. Yeah.
You Hello? Built me.
You built me. What year? What decade? Probably that thing. Like it.
This decade.
You built me.
Although I'm not sure we're giving out clues. I don't know why I said that. I don't think that's in the rules.
Fernando, I'm so sorry. We were looking for Frozen was the name of the film we wanted this time around. Frozen.
Oh. Yeah, thank you, though.
See, because they built a snowman.
Let's go to Philip in Whittier.
Good morning, Allie.
All right, are you ready for your Disney movie?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Me and you. Is that a joke?
If you win, you go and I fix the road. If I win, you do the road my way.
Doc, what are you doing?
I don't mean to be rude here, Doc, but you probably go 0 to 60 in, like, what, 3.5 years?
Well, then I reckon you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Cha-chow, that's my son's favorite movie, Cars.
Yeah.
You say cha-chow?
With the great Paul Newman in that clip, too. That was awesome. All right, doing pretty well so far. We got time for a couple more. Who's next?
Priscilla in West Covina. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
How have you been doing so far, all right?
I'm good. I'm about to clock in at 7 o'clock.
Okay, good. It's talking about the game, but good for you. All right, here's your movie clip.
And every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake, a lark, a spree. It's very clear to see.
I have no idea.
What?
Yes.
Yep. She said,
That's
I have
the
no idea.
Opposite of having no idea.
I have no idea, Mary Poppins.
That's having every idea. That's incredible. Well done.
Thank you. What a bizarre guess if it was a guess. All right, let's go to Noah. No? How do you say your name?
Yeah, Noe.
Noe. N-O-E.
Yeah.
In Anaheim. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
According to my Nava computer, then.
Shut up! Just shut up, you idiot!
Sheriff, this is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic! I'm lost. Andy is gone. They're going to move from their house in 2 days, and it's all your fault.
Mike!
Oh, man. Can you repeat it?
No. Oh. We just played you half the movie. Come on. That's a long clip. Take a guess, Noe.
Oh, man.
A Disney movie you should throw out.
We were looking for Toy Story this time around. Toy Story would be.
Whoop, sorry.
One more contestant. Let's go to line 8, please, in Long Beach. Lennon will be our final guest here.
Hey, Lennon.
Hey, good morning.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here you go.
As the king's brother, you should have been first in line.
Well, I was first in line until the little hairball was born.
That hairball is my son and your future king.
By the way, that's Darth Vader right there.
Yeah, no kidding. It sure is. What do you think, Lennon?
That would be Aladdin, right?
Wrong.
Not as much as The Lion King.
The Lion King is really what we were looking for. But thank you for playing. Thank you for listening. Ryan, Tony, Robert, Philip, Priscilla, all in the drawing. Only one will win the full year at Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks. Miss Ellie McKay, who's it going to be?
The winner is Philip.
Philip! Yes! Congratulations, right. Philip.
Thank you. It means so much to me with everything going through this last year. Thank you.
I'm happy for you. Thanks for playing the game.
It's the Waltz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Hey, it's Ralph Garman time, you guys. Time to take a look at the showbiz beat here for a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Real quick email before we get started. This is from listener Kent, who writes, Ralph, I work in the space industry. And had no idea we were flying by that rock. And I don't care, writes Kent, who works in the space industry.
Well,
he makes mission support modemization for space capsules and spaceships.
Sure.
Well, then he's in the wrong line of
work. Those of you that don't know the
modernization. Modernization.
The behind-the-scenes story is that Bean's favorite planet, which is no longer a planet, is Pluto. I know none of you have that category either, but they are near it now. And
this guy works in mission support. The people like NASA employs this guy to put their programs together.
Yeah.
I had no idea we were flying by that rock, and I don't care.
Boom. Look, I appreciate Kent listening. I appreciate him writing, but he is an idiot.
Wow.
Really?
I'm sorry
to start calling our listeners idiots?
I'm sorry, hold on. In that industry, and he hadn't heard in 9.5 years about a major NASA mission, yes, he is not paying close enough attention to his own industry.
He may have heard it, but it's just so irrelevant that he just dismissed it.
I think what he means is he had no idea that today was the day that they were going to be flying by.
So this is not the day that
apparently
America...
the countdown clock hasn't been on a lot of people's apps.
America's been looking forward to it.
Millions
for
of people
years.
Are fascinated and can't wait.
Thank you, gentlemen.
See the photos later today. Oh, you see clear?
We're going to be so excited.
Oh, 5 moons.
I can't wait. That's what you sound like, man.
Enormous douchebag.
Stop it.
I'm giving you a 0 for the day.
Yep, that's what you get. 0. Speaking of science, Bill Nye, the science guy...
Doesn't care about these photos either?
No, he
does
was
not
there
care.
This morning. Oh. NASA Live, watching it.
They're trying to make a documentary about his life.
I would be interested in that.
Of course you would. Well, you're in luck. Kickstarter.com allows you to contribute if you'd like. They're trying to raise $650,000 to do a documentary on Bill, which will show him leading a mission to launch a solar-powered satellite. I'm sorry. I dozed off in the middle of reading this story.
Many years ago, Ralph.
Don't even start.
Bill Nye drove Kevin and me around in one of the first electric cars. Drove all over the valley in an electric car. He was explaining to us.
Great story.
And we had a lot of fun hanging out with Mr. Nye.
Can I get the film rights to that story? Because I'm going to put that on Kickstarter and see if I can make that motion picture.
I'm just saying for a long time he's been out front trying to merge science and...
You come on!
3 tools in an electric car. That's what I'm naming my movie. Hey, while we're talking crowdrising, crowdfunding, and that sort of thing, there's a new contest sponsored by CrowdRise. That's why I said that. It is a really cool charity event. Proceeds go to Teen Cancer America, which is an amazing charity, as well as some others. It's one of these lottery type deals. You know, Omaze, we talked about done that before where, you know, you pay $10 for a ticket or whatever, and if they call your lucky number, you get to blow ass up with Arnold Schwarzenegger or J.J. Abrams puts you in the Star Wars movie.
Right.
This is with CrowdRise, and they are doing Another raffle. $10 gets you one entry. $25 gets you three. $50 gets you seven. So you're better off going with the $50 donation, I think. Winner gets a private concert with The Who and Eddie Vedder.
Yay!
What?
Dude.
It's a private house in Los Angeles. Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey will do a set for you, and then Eddie Vedder will do a set for you.
Wow.
Not interested.
And they put you up for two nights at the Fairmont Hotel in Santa Monica.
You pressed the wrong button.
Did you mean to press? I'm very interested.
I meant to press.
Totally.
I was so bored.
How can you be bored by Eddie Vedder and The Who?
Kevin.
Ugh. Come on.
No, explain.
I'm sorry.
No,
there's no way to explain. I would be bored if they were playing.
We're not talking about One Direction here.
I know.
What?
You may not know who we're talking about. That's what I fear. Perhaps you're just not aware of who these people are.
Have you heard of
The Who? Have you heard of Pearl Jam?
I've heard of both, yeah.
Okay. Really? You're familiar with these acts? You don't think sitting at a private home
playing with
you?
Is Eddie
going to
do 10? Then I'm in. That would be great. I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to do his belly dancing music or whatever he's been doing for the last 15 years.
Ralph.
If he does this.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Then I'm in. Because that's my favorite.
The infection, whatever has been in Kevin's brain, is now completely taken over. That's what I think. That's the only possible answer.
You thought I would be excited about this.
A private concert with The Who and Eddie Vedder. Just you in the house.
That's a good night.
Can I delete The Who?
Chip's giving you the finger.
Oh, come on. Can I take The Who out of that? Just have Eddie Vedder.
No matter what you think about The Who, if Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend are willing to play a set for you in front of you in a private house, you take that. That's a special moment in a life.
Yeah. Not interesting.
For anyone who cares about any sort of music. Unreal.
So, Kev.
No!
Let's say your neighbor wins this, okay? And he calls you up and he goes, hey, dude, The Who and Eddie Vedder are playing in my living room at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Why don't you walk across the street and come watch it with me?
Not interested.
Nope, really? I missed the plane. I missed the plane to your house. Drunk in the alley.
You say no. No to walking 40 feet to see
Wait, The Who and Eddie Vedder?
Yes!
Nope.
They're showing CSI Miami. I'm in.
You can get in on this if you are
not Kevin.
A regular person. You can go to crowdrise.com/The Who and Eddie, and you can enter there. It's all for charity, and it's a pretty cool thing. So.
I hope I win it, and I make Kevin go to it.
You'll win it and not do it. That's your style.
Right. That's the other end of the spectrum. You'll win the prize and say, I can't get a flight all the way down to Los Angeles. I'm exhausted.
I am pre-tired already.
I'll fly to London to see Taylor Swift, but I won't come to Los Angeles to see The Who and Eddie Vedder. No. You're all just a mess.
Back to you, Rob.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Conor McGregor, the interim champ. That's a shame he's got an asterisk next to his championship.
Until he fights Jose Aldo, that's
going to
be great.
One more fight to go. 27 years old today. Dan Reynolds is 28, singer, of course, for Imagine Dragons. Dan Smith, Bastille singer, 29 years old today.
Scott, hey, Ruff.
Yeah. What's your name? Bean? Yeah, Bean. Yeah.
Is the band, forgive me if I'm late to this party, is the band called Bastille? Wait, what's the name of his band?
Bastille, right?
Is the band called Bastille because his birthday is today, Bastille Day?
Yeah,
you can't use the F word. I've just tried to put the pieces together.
Although I'm a Pharrell, sometimes that's all
you have. Sometimes you will beat me down to the point where those are the only words I have access to.
Is that a stupid question?
It's a question that I possibly, in a million years with a gun to my head, could not answer.
Well, I thought maybe it was widely known, and I just missed the connection between his birthday being today and his band being named Bastille. I'm wondering if that's where it came from.
I'm so happy that you took the heat off of me for the whole Who Eddie Vedder thing.
How the hell could I possibly know the derivation of why the band called themselves Bastille?
Because they're a popular...
No!
They're a popular K-Rock band that we've played
it up
and talked about it. I thought maybe it was widely known, and I just didn't get the memo.
There only
all.
Was some sort of electronic network of information where you could type something in on a computer terminal and then do research that gives you access to these sort of facts.
Well, I just Googled it, Bean.
And what's
the
answer,
amount of time.
Don't tell him. Make him Google it. We don't have time.
What's the answer, Ellie?
The group's name is inspired by Bastille Day, which commemorates the beginning of the French Revolution. Also happens to be Dan Smith's birthday.
I'm guessing Bean knew that from the beginning.
I didn't know that. That's why it just occurred to me, as Ralph said, that his birthday was today. That's why I asked.
Open up a blog.
Okay. Well, now we know. Now we all know. We've all learned a little something.
Ralph hates all of us. I've learned something. I've learned that you are a douchebag of mythic proportions.
That was a reasonable, relevant question.
But not for me. That's the
correct.
It's a great question for Dan Smith. The next time you interview the guys from Bastille, maybe you want to bring it up then.
By the way, here's the other thing. Bean knows more about bands and music than all of us put together.
And he's the first guy to see every minuscule fact about anything ever. So if you don't know it, just assume that we're not going to be able to fill in the blanks for you.
Noted.
Goddamn Pluto. Not interested. Scott Porter's 36 years old today. The actor Matthew Fox is 49. Jackie Earle Haley's 54. Kyle Gass, KG from Tenacious D, 55 years old today. Let me ask you this. Did they call it Tenacious D because they once played football and they were very good on the defensive line? Actress Jane Lynch from Glee is 55 years old today. And Kevin, real quick aside, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 comes out today on DVD. I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Sweet.
So you could get yourself a dozen copies of that and just get naked and roll around in them.
I set my alarm. I got it at 12:01 this morning.
I'm sure you did. It was like Black Friday special for you. You were standing outside the Best Buy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's Tuesday morning here on K-Rock. That means the Bachelorette Report with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis. 1 hour from right now. In a few minutes, we'll bring in Twitch, Stephen Boss from Magic Mike XXL. And So You Think You Can Dance? Right now, though, Mrs. Kevin, Melissa in studio with us here on the Kevin Mean Show. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, good morning.
She doesn't like to go by Mrs. Kevin.
I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all.
I would say Mrs. Bean, Allie's girlfriend, whatever works.
I know I say this every year at this time, but I feel like you are a bad person for saying the words back to school while it's still July. But the truth is, it's really right around the corner, and this is when your Friends and Helpers 2015 back to school program gets up and running, right?
That's true, and actually school starts August 5th, August 10th. It starts very soon, and I don't think people realize that. It's right around the corner, and in order to get people ready and to get things people need, we have to start planning now.
For people who don't know, explain the charity.
Okay, so, Kevin and I run a foundation, Friends and Helpers. You can check out our website, friendsandhelpers.info@friendsandhelpers.org. And what we do is we help provide backpacks to people, abused people, victims of domestic violence who don't have backpacks and the things they need to go back to school. And we take these things for granted. Just the basic materials you need to go back to school. And everybody has a fond memory of going back to school. Well, Kevin might not, but the majority of people have a fond memory of going back to school. And this is something that's very simple. And the goal here is to provide these things so that people can go and feel good about their first day of going back to school.
Rather than be the kid in class who doesn't have pencils and doesn't have crayons and doesn't have
scissors,
whatever it is you're supposed to have, rather than be that guy, you want to be well-stocked when you walk in.
When there's a family where there's domestic violence, most of the time the women and the kids just run. They have nothing.
They have nothing. And when you're already dealing with that situation and it's hard enough, we can at least go and provide these children, these teenagers, with a backpack so they can feel like they fit in on that first day. So that's what our goal is. We're having an event on August 1st. You can go to our website. It's so easy. You can adopt a backpack. You don't even have to come to the event if you don't want to. K-Rock will be there. It's a good day. You can come at 9 in the morning. But if not, don't come if you don't want to. Just go to our website, adopt a backpack, adopt a snack bag. That's another huge need that we have. Kids don't even have a snack bag. They don't have a granola bar. They don't have a marshmallow treat so that they can go and sit with their peers and, start to make friends, which is very, very important.
And how many backpacks are we trying to make this year?
Well, our requests are already over 6,000.
What?
Already over 6,000. Yes.
You got to turn off your phone, Melissa.
That's what I tell her.
That's what Kevin says.
Quick, stop answering emails, girl.
I can't. You know I can't. Anybody who knows me knows I work all the time, and it's a little crazy. But that's okay, because you know what? If that's my biggest problem, that's not a problem at all.
How many years have you been doing the back-to-school event? Because I know you've been doing the Christmas thing forever. How about the back-to-school?
Back-to-school, I think we're on year 15 now.
Wow. And when you started out, how many backpacks were you putting together?
We were putting together maybe 500.
And now you're into the thousands.
We're over 3,000. I think we're going to shoot for 4,000 to 5,000 this year.
But we are having to tell some of those people no already.
I am. And you,
heartbreaking.
It's
you know?
Killing me to say no just is... I'm not crying here today. I can't.
You cry every year when you come
in,
Melissa.
I know. I can't do it. But it's not, you know, $25 provides a child with a really nice backpack.
And the stuffed with all of
it has everything
they need.
The LAUSD says they need to have. It $10 provides a snack bag that gets a kid in for at least a week's worth of snacks.
I want a snack bag, by the way. This looks pretty good. Rice Krispie Squares, fruit roll-ups, cracker packs,
I feel like
jello and
you
pudding.
Maybe you should get your own, though.
I'm just saying. It seems like a good deal.
But, you know, that, again, it's just breaking the circle so that they don't hide by their lockers. They go out. They sit with their friends. I mean, it's just helping, and it makes, if they're in a situation where they have a parent, and remember, a lot of these kids no longer have parents. They're living in group homes, shelters. So by you sponsoring these things, they have the items to go and feel like they fit in.
And for a lot of these kids, this is the only constant that they have is
absolutely
school.
And also a lot of the school food programs have been cut.
Yeah.
So it's not like they have an option.
Right.
In fact, I'm sorry, go ahead, Bean.
I was just going to say, two great ways to help. One, as you mentioned, you've got the event coming up on August 1st, which is going to be in North Hollywood. You can get the details on the website. The other is to go to the website at friendsandhelpers.org, and you make it really easy to make a quick donation. It takes almost no time at all to be on the site. And as you said, $25 gets you a backpack, $10 gets you the snack pack, and of course, you always accept more. If people would like to donate more, that's certainly welcome. The KROQ listeners, and I know you've said this in the past, Melissa, they really do come through for this event, which makes me feel
blessed.
So good.
Yeah, it's humbling.
It's humbling. We see, and they write us notes, and the KROQ listeners will often share their stories with us about their situations where they were victims of domestic abuse, where they were brought up in homes that were difficult, and now they're able to help. And I'm just so touched by their stories, and we write back to them. And it's just amazing now they're in a situation where they can help, or maybe they can't help yet, and they come back to us and help. And that's just really amazing and humbling, and we're so grateful for that.
Yeah, because it's a beautiful community of people.
It is,
and there's nobody listening who doesn't know somebody who has gone through.
It's one in three
like
people
this.
Now yeah. who are touched by this situation.
I also like to mention that the way Melissa runs the charity, because I'm really just the poster boy.
You're the pretty face, Kevin,
right.
just like you are on this show. You don't really do anything, but you're the pretty face.
But
that represents us.
But the way she runs it is nobody takes a salary. And 100% of whatever you give goes to that kid or that mom or whoever you're supporting. It does not go to us. It does not go to salary. It does not go to overhead. None of that.
And you're taking a lot of trips lately. I'm just saying.
Please don't look at Kevin's soccer schedule.
That's just poor personal
that.
Finances, Bean.
Okay. I'm just saying you're going to South America, then you're going to Canada. It just seems like there's a lot of extra money.
100% of what we do at FNH goes to the cause.
No, I know that. You're very, very accountable. Friends and Helpers 2015 Back to School Program is on, kids. Go to friendsandhelpers.org. Even if you only have $5 to donate, I can speak on behalf of Kevin and Melissa and say they appreciate it and it will be used for a good purpose. And, of course, we always put up a link at KROQ.com and the Kevin and Bean Facebook page to make it easier for you to find it if you can't remember that. So good luck with the program this year, Melissa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
You bet.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 725.
I know you're dance or die, Kevin. That's the motto that you live by.
That is my motto,
the tattoo you've got across your abdomen. So this is a very big moment for you and for all of us. Give me a little of that So You Think You Can Dance music, if you would, please. Monday nights at 8 on Fox in its 12th season. It is never less than entertaining, partly because Cat Beely is so darn hot, but partly because of our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Boss is in studio. He is Twitch from So You Think You Can Dance, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show at KROQ right now. Hi, Twitch.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
12 seasons of the show so far. How long have you been on So You Think You Can Dance, either as a contestant or as a mentor?
I competed season 4 and came back as an all-star season 7, and I've been an all-star judge, choreographer. So I've been involved for, what, 8 years?
Wow.
8 years.
Do you rub it in that the year you were on, you came in second? Do you rub it in and go, look, now I'm a judge?
No,
you made the wrong decision.
No, honestly, that was the right decision,
you think,
honestly.
So?
Yeah, it put me in a position where I didn't get to rest on my laurels. You know what I mean? Being runner-up was probably the best position because I hit the ground running, and I had the same exposure that the winner did.
Yeah,
I just didn't get the money. You know what I mean? So right. It's just like...
That's an optimistic way to look at it, Twitch.
Yeah, you got it. You have to. Look, there's nothing worse than a bitter runner-up. You know what I mean? Because it's like... If you just put a little hustle into it, then you can find your way. But if you sit back and you're just like, man, it should have been me. Like, then you're a bitter runner-up that soon fades to black.
Because, yeah. All right, let's go back even a couple of years before that night and talk about you auditioning to get on the show and not making it, being rejected. Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, honestly, the way that happened is I was on set for, you remember Mims? Remember that artist Mims?
Yes.
I was on
what
set.
What was Mims'
I was,
big song?
This Is Why I'm Hot.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not.
Because you're not. Exactly.
Come on. It's like my theme song.
That's right. I was an extra on that video. And some of the dancers were saying, oh, So You Think is auditioning tomorrow. And I was like, oh, cool, I'll go. I didn't have plans to go. And the way that it happened, I went right down to the last spot for a guy, and they chose the other guy. And so then that's when I was like, okay, I really want this now. So the next season is when I went back with the fire, like, okay, I really want to be on the show, as opposed to like, oh, it's cool if I just go and by chance. We'll see. Well, yeah, it's on my way home. I have nothing to do tomorrow. Like, you know?
A lot of people can dance, but very few people can dance at the level that you dance. How did you learn? Did you just teach yourself?
Honestly, yeah, for a lot of it, I taught myself. For the first, I'd say, 16 years of my life, I taught myself. And it's
it was just
always
something
been,
you loved to
I
do.
I loved to do. Yeah. Tried sports, tried, you know, all this other stuff. But dancing has just always been my thing. I mean, back in the day, watching Michael Jackson videos, Janet Jackson videos, back when music videos were like music videos.
Yeah, there were music videos.
And absolutely. Uh-huh. And so those used to be, they used to get me reeling. You know, just like I guess cats would, you know, watch, you know, tapes of Michael Jordan playing or Larry Bird playing, things like that.
And did you watch some of those videos to learn moves?
I did. I used to learn all of the choreography, and I even had my little glove. I didn't really like.
Which is your best Michael Jackson song?
Best Michael Jackson song? Oh, man. I'd have to go with Off the Wall. Yeah, I have to go to, oh, that's just a classic. Anytime that comes on, I will dance. I've sweat out a suit dancing to Off the Wall.
Really?
It doesn't matter
you
where
don't
I am.
Have, that, it's just
see,
a reflect.
That is the curse of a dancer, is that, you know, if you're wearing a white dress shirt and your favorite song comes on, you will not be looking sexy for the rest of the night.
You don't have to tell me.
Twitch, you're a notorious sweater anyway, though.
I am a notorious sweater.
I have seen you drown people on your show when you go to hug them. you know, it's so interesting to hear you say this, because what you're doing on this season of So You Think You Can Dance right now with the Street versus Stage, these kids that you're seeing that are the street dancers, the ones who haven't had any kind of formal training, that have kind of taught themselves by watching YouTube. I mean, you must see a lot of yourself in those kids.
Absolutely, man, because there's a certain rawness and a raw energy and just a drive to succeed, because this opportunity comes so rare for somebody that doesn't grow up in a studio. You know what I mean? Because when you're growing up in a studio, you're exposed to what it is to be a choreographer or a dance teacher or to own a studio. Whereas if you're a street dancer and you battle in clubs or just battle at events and stuff like that, then you know, your knowledge is limited to what you can actually do to turn dance into a career.
Yeah, can you see a future at that point? I mean, this is where I'm going, because NFL, you know, people play football when they're a kid. They can go to the NFL.
Exactly.
Do you see a future that way?
I mean, other than battle to battle, not necessarily. Other than being, you know, the best in the world. You can battle here in the States, but then you can also go battle internationally. But to what end? You don't really know, you know. But with shows like So You Think that actually have dance as the main character and not necessarily in the background or setting the environment, it opens up all kinds of opportunities for branding, for choreography, for pretty much anything you can imagine for dance.
How old are you, Twitch?
I am 32.
And how are you feeling?
I feel
with
great.
What you've put your body through for the last 20 years.
Honestly, I still feel really great. My knees feel differently, but I feel good.
Does your mind every once in a while go, I can do this, and then your body goes, F you.
No, you can't. Yeah. That's why I haven't done a backwards flip since I was like 26. You know what I mean? I got hyped once, and I was like, yeah, I'm about to do it. And my back was like, if you do that, I will not stand you up for the next 2 weeks. You know,
Twitch is here from So You Think You Can Dance with Yours, Monday nights at 8 on Fox. You know, I was one of the people who was late to the party on this because, and I'm sure you've heard this from other people, Twitch, dance never moved me.
Mm.
I was never a guy who was captivated by dance or intrigued by it or anything like that. I mean, I respected that people could do it and it was hard and everything, but it never moved. And then I started watching your show, and these people blow me away by what every season somebody does something. Lots of people do stuff that I can't believe the human body can do.
Exactly.
It is ever evolving. Yeah. Nobody's going to really surprise you on American Idol or The Voice with what they, because you've heard all the singing.
Right.
I feel like we still haven't seen all the dancing.
Still
like it's evolving.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And you know, one of the greatest things though, is that, with So You Think, compared to like singing shows is that, you know, on the singing shows, if you get an original song, great. But usually it's a cover of another song. Whereas So You Think You Can Dance, every episode, with every entry, it's actually an original piece of art. You know, so yeah. with that being said, with the combination of dance and emotion, and then with that right song, you know, there's 10 dances every episode. There's usually one that's going to get you. You know what I mean? There's usually one, whether it's, you know, you like the song or that you've kind of fallen in love with the person that's dancing. There's something that's going to draw you in and be like, wow, I actually appreciate that.
So it is normal to cry crocodile tears watching your show.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yes, crocodile tears. Yes.
She cries those at every show, though, so I'm not sure that counts.
The passion of your contestants is amazing, and you do such a great job. But we got to take a quick break. Twitch is here. He is Stephen Boss. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at @official_Twitch. We want to talk some more about So You Think You Can Dance and also about your big turn in Magic Mike XXL when we return right after this on K-Rock. Now that he's here, now that you can size up your competition, Kevin, are you having second thoughts about not having a dance-off? What are you thinking?
I don't need to take
Twitch, right?
I don't need to battle Twitch. I don't need to show anybody.
I saw him just stretching in the corner of the room for a second. I'm not going to lie.
His cardboard was in the hallway. He was just spinning. It's amazing.
I was trying to talk him into it, Twitch, but I guess I got to give him credit. He says, look, the man's our guest.
He
don't want to show him up.
He's
doing us a favor by coming in. Why embarrass him?
Right.
You know?
And I respect that.
Do you have people that stop you on the street all the time and say, watch this? Or check this out? Check this out.
And then, you know, it never fails. Anytime that there's like a club dance situation, there's always the dude that wants to battle. Always. That is without fail the constant.
And do you ever say, dude, stop it.
I mean, depending on what kind of mood I'm in, I'm like, hold on, let me take my jacket off. I'm about to sweat my dress shirt out.
You know, oftentimes,
you need to wear fewer dress shirts.
That's what the problem is.
Right.
Oftentimes we think about the, you know, a UFC fighter goes out for a drink and somebody wants to start trouble. And I guess it's the same way with, you know, a gunfighter or the same way with a dancer. Is that people just want, they get an opportunity in person to show you up and they want to do it.
Exactly. And you know what? It's just whether it's a battle or not, it's funny how people be like, oh, you're a dancer? Dance. You know, it's like, what? You like, you know, if you met Robert Downey Jr., you know, you wouldn't be like, yo, bro, can you do a monologue for me real quick? Like, you know what I mean? Or like, you meet an accountant, and you're
weird.
Like, hey, man, hey, go and run my taxes real quick, bro. You
know, it's like,
dance. You know?
Yeah, but I'm sure they mean it as a positive, but
oh, no,
still,
of course,
for you, it's got to be weird.
Yeah.
So You Think You Can Dance is the show. It airs Monday nights at 8 on Fox. We're into the live episodes now as of last night. It's street versus stage. We're going to talk about Magic Mike XXL in a second here, but are you allowed to say who your favorite is at this point, Twitch, or no?
I mean, yeah, of course. I could say that I have a couple favorites on stage. Definitely is there's a guy named Virgil, a girl named Yaya, And the B-Boys last night, they really impressed me a lot. They have trouble picking up choreography, and they really pulled it off last night. So they've been working really hard.
Do you run into a lot of people on the show who come in and they're great at one style, but then when they've got to do jazz or ballet or something like that, they are just fish out of water?
Absolutely. That's the different backbone skills, right? Of the show. Yeah, of course. Very different skills, very different approach. And that's like the meat and potatoes of the show, because usually, when you're dancing, you train very hard. You want to be associated with a couple of different styles, but you have that specialty that's just kind of your thing. So yeah, you're definitely going to encounter a style that makes you feel like you can't dance.
And for you, that's which one is for you? Ballet?
Oh, Latin ballrooms. No, Latin ballroom. I can deal with ballet. I can do contemporary, but Latin ballrooms, there's something about the tight, the really tight painted on pants. And the tight dress shirt. It's something about me with dress shirts, man. You know what I mean? It's just, and it's see-through,
And that's my strength. That's why I don't think the battle is going to happen.
You would have trouble on Dancing with the Stars then, having to do the cha-cha-cha and some of that stuff,
man.
Right?
I would have so much trouble. You know, my wife was a pro on Dancing with the Stars. And she gets so frustrated with me sometimes trying to practice moves, because she's like, you are worse than the contestants right
really?
Now. You know,
wow.
The thing is there's just something about that Latin rhythm that just throws my feet off. There's no sexy, and it's just like, what are you doing? Knees, what are you doing? Hips, what are you doing? Where are you? You know?
All right. You're criticizing your own body parts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love that. Let's talk big screen for a minute, Twitch. How did Magic Mike happen for you?
Well, Channing and his wife, Jenna, are huge fans of the show. And Jenna did a guest judging spot on So You Think and mentioned it to me, saying, hey, the sequel's been greenlit and they're throwing your name around for a role. And as time passed, Channing set up a meeting, asked me if I would even be interested. And I was like, of course I would be interested.
I don't know. Yeah.
Let me think about it. Yes. and then it just went from there, man. It was really cool. They wrote a part where they really wanted a dancer to just really get up, and they were just going to let me have free reign and just dance, which was the most appealing part for me, because I remember from the first one, like the fireman routines, and I was like, I want to do it.
Right.
I want to dance. I want to dance.
You when did you go on the Ellen show?
First time I did the Ellen show was back in 2010, but on season 11, I was the guest DJ.
Because her crowd scares me.
So much joy and screams and dancing.
Riot is going to happen.
You know what I mean? But it's why? Because it's so genuine. Every single time when she comes through those doors, it's like tears
right.
and screaming.
I agree,
and, yeah,
but I'm
absolutely.
Saying when you came on, like, holy cow, things are about to go down. I hope they have a lot of security. It was crazy.
It's a good time, man. It's a really good time.
Channing is obviously a dancer for real. I mean, he was dancing even before he became an actor, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What about the other guys? What about Matt and Joe and those guys that they hired because they're hunky, and then now they got to dance? How did they do?
They did. You know what? They did really well. You know, Matt and Joe went to a performing arts college together where they specialize. In musical theater. So Matt can actually sing incredibly well, so he took to singing and the choreography like it was nothing, and then so our choreographers Allison and Teresa, they did a really good job at playing to each guy's strength, because they weren't
trying
just
to make them into something else.
Absolutely. They weren't just going to throw dance moves at them. They were going to play into their characters per script, and do exactly what. And I think they did a really good job, because they didn't have anybody feeling incredibly uncomfortable, more uncomfortable than they were going to feel standing in the thong.
So there's a lot of thongs happening. Did you go to any of the screenings when the movie opened? Like, see the movie with an audience?
I saw the movie with an audience one time.
What,
I did.
What's that like? Was that one too many, or were you happy?
Happy I went. I just needed to see it once. But I was very happy I went, because people were really, really, really excited.
I would be worried about them tearing me up, though. I mean, literally, like, tearing my clothes off coming out of that.
You'd end up begging. You'd be like, I'm here.
That would be
Bean.
In the aisle. That would be Bean.
Hey, I'm a dancer. Somebody tear my clothes off.
You want to do more movies, Switch?
I do want to do more movies. Yeah, that's the goal. And also with and dance doesn't necessarily have to be attached to it. You know?
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm taking classes and studying and this and that. So just forming the foundation the same way that I did with dance.
You know? How long you want to be on So You Think You Can Dance?
I will be on So You Think You Can Dance as long as it's on, man, because I can't front and be like that didn't give me my platform for everything that I'm doing now, because if I didn't make my season, the season that I competed for So You Think You Can Dance, I actually would have gone into the Navy. You know, I'm an extremist kind of dude to where, you know, just things were not working out with auditions and stuff like that. Wow. And I was like, you know what? It's about time. I need some stability. I need something to change.
I feel like about then we could have used you in the Navy.
You know what I mean? Like, that's it. And so I was like, if I get cut from this audition, the very next day I'm going to go and I'm going to enlist.
That is a really inspirational story. Is it crazy to think how much your life has changed as a result of that?
Absolutely. That's why, you know, nothing is small at this point in time. You know what I mean? No job, no, it's small, because I would be doing something completely different. You know what I mean? Yeah. So everything that I'm getting to do is amazing.
Okay, you know? Last question.
Exactly. Last question.
Right?
You didn't go in the Navy, so now I have to ask.
People, you're excited. All right, take it easy.
Now I have to ask, if you looking back, would you have rather had the success that you've had with the movies and the TV, or would you have rather been the SEAL that killed Bin Laden? I mean, how it could have ended up.
Wow.
But see, you risk being the guy behind the guy that kills Bin Laden.
True.
And that's not quite as cool. Right?
I'd be right where I am.
All right. Right where you are.
Okay. I wouldn't have changed
anything. Good for you. Yeah. He is the captain of Team Street. You can see him Monday nights at 8 on the Fox channel. So You Think You Can Dance is an outstanding show. Please give our love to Kat Dealey, by the way. We haven't had her on in a while. We miss her so much. And you can see Twitch on the big screen in theaters now with Magic Mike XXL. A real pleasure to have you on, sir. We really enjoyed it.
Hey, thank y'all so much, man. It was an honor to be here, man.
When do we eat?
Wait.
I mean, is it okay? Not a... Now?
Zip it. Zip it. No. We'll start by my name, Zip it.
You want to enjoy every last second of that song, don't you, Ralph?
Love that.
Hey, I'm not lying. I'm genuinely excited about the Bachelorette Report coming up just after 8. I can't wait to find out what happened last night with Caitlin.
Magical.
Petros is going to be joining us. That's on the way. First, no time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
You guys, by the way, your interview skills
have gotten better.
What? No, I've been lacking lately.
Are the best ever?
The one question everybody wanted to know when you're talking to Twitch is he still in touch with Lilo? Do they still hang out together after they did that film?
That's
and you never brought it up, and not once in the whole conversation. You didn't talk
about
him.
Her.
No,
it's
not because
him
what she's
Stitch.
She's a
wasn't
she's
that
a
Stitch?
Polynesian
wasn't that Stitch and Lilo yeah. you're thinking of? This is Twitch.
This is Twitch.
So you're thinking dance guy?
Yeah,
different person. Well played.
Thank you.
That's right, brother.
Hey, remember our friend Kent who works for the space industry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From last hour?
Uh-huh.
My
mortal foe.
Sent another email in. He said, hey, Ralph, two douchebags walk into a bar. The first douchebag turns to the other one and says, hi, Bean.
Bean came on today on
the
show.
Not so much from you, Kent.
I like Kent. That's my boy.
Ralph, do we have to talk about this next hour? Help me out, because Bean doesn't want to.
What, the Pluto factor?
Yes.
We need to explore this further.
Because what we had planned will wait till tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right, good.
Today is Pluto Day. We all know that.
Excellent. We've been waiting for 9.5 years, Ralph.
Yes, we have.
With bated breath.
That's right. All of America has.
Real quickly, Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon back to Los Angeles this weekend, Friday night at 10 p.m. We're going to bring Babel to the Improv on Melrose. Love to have everybody come out and see us. And a little special bonus. I think I've talked to Kevin Smith into playing the trailer for his new film, Yoga Hosers, during the show. And no one's had a chance to see that yet outside of Hall H at Comic-Con. So if you'd like to check that out, if you're a fan of Kevin's, this would be a good night to get your tickets for Hollywood Babylon.
Come to think of it, no.
Speaking of things Comic-Con-y and spacey, this cracks me up. This story's fantastic. This is a father who was shopping with his two daughters at Toys R Us. And what do his shocked eyes see on the toy shelf? But Princess Leia dressed in a bikini.
Yeah, classic scene.
What?
You mean the gold bikini from when she's tied
her
up
slave
with
outfit?
Jabba the Hutt?
Yeah. Isn't it Jabba?
What?
Okay, that's a cool toy. What about it?
This is shocking. Everyone is... What? How could this...
What are you talking about?
I don't know. This is what Fred Hill is talking about. He has lodged a complaint with Toys R Us, with the toy company.
No.
With anyone who will listen.
No.
Here's Fred Hill and his outrage.
It's pretty inappropriate.
The single dad was shocked to see this on the toy aisle shelf. A Hasbro-made Star Wars Black Series action figure of Princess Leia, wearing what the box described as a slave outfit.
I got two daughters. I don't need seeing that crap.
The toy features a scantily clad version of Princess Leia, complete with a chain around her neck. The toy that even has Dad blushing.
Now, like, Dad, why does this style have a chain around her neck? I don't have any answers. You know what I mean? I'm just, like, blown away looking at it.
It's just a random costume they put on her. I don't have any answers. It's from a movie 30 years old. Let's all stop acting like this has just happened.
And the reason she had a chain around her neck is because she was a slave.
Yeah, I don't have any answers.
Jabba had her.
That's not an answer. I don't have any answers.
Here's the difference.
For some reason, they just took Princess Leia and put her in a bikini with a chain around her neck. I don't have any answers. Nobody has answers.
Here's the difference is that people have always complained, but now companies take them seriously. They should say to him, F you, go watch a movie and get out of our store. Because
I don't know why she's got a chain around her neck. I don't know why she's wearing a bikini. I don't know any of those things.
We got no answers.
All of a sudden, it's just Princess Leia's in a bikini. It just happened. 33 years ago, it happened.
Yeah.
And the news station, shame on them for treating this like a news story,
right.
By the way.
Where was this again?
This is Deptford, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Jersey. And the reporter's like, it says slave Leia on the box, and for some reason, she's scantily clad and... wearing a chain around it. This just didn't appear out of nowhere.
Well, it was a pretty small movie, though. I mean, it probably didn't reach everywhere.
This isn't some Mexican knockoff toy that just strips her naked and gives her a lightsaber vibrator. What the, this is a long-standing character from one of the most popular films of all time. It's madness.
Wow.
World is going to hell in a handbasket.
We need to check in on his two daughters in about 10 years. See how they're doing.
By the way, Ralph, he's an idiot, but you're absolutely right that our scorn should be equally distributed to the television station that chose to report this.
Yeah. What story didn't get covered that night? Because they're talking to Fred Hill about his outrage over the Princess Leia toy.
Yeah, you've got Chris Christie running for president. I think you've got more important things to deal with in New Jersey right now.
Nuts. Today's celebrity birthdays. Linda Pauly, our own Linda Pauly celebrates her birthday today.
Aww. Happy birthday, Linda.
She, of course, is our contact with the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
Often lets us know when John Lennon is writing new songs about us or whether Michael Jackson's happy with what's going on. She speaks to the deceased on the other side.
She's really the only one that we have.
Our only contact to the spirit world?
Yeah.
I believe so. She is the only one.
That's right.
And so we love you, Linda. Happy birthday, sweetheart. Conor McGregor is 27 years old today. Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons is 28 years old today. Do you think the band's called Imagine Dragons because once Dan Reynolds imagined a dragon in his room when he was five? And so that's... The Steel singer Dan Smith is 29 years old today. Scott Porter, the actor, is 36. Matthew Fox turns 49. Jackie Earle Haley is 54. You know what I miss? I miss that Human Target show. Remember that show?
That was a good show.
I loved that show.
I liked it too.
Kyle Gass from Tenacious D celebrates 55 years today, as does Jane Lynch from Glee, of course. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is about the time every week on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean show we bring you the Bachelorette Report. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. When Petra's Papa thinks so, he's holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset, watching the Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show?
Petros Papadakis from AM 570, your LA Dodgers radio station, joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, P, how you doing, man?
What's popping with y'all? Good morning.
Good morning. Here's your boyfriend, Ralph.
What was your take on last night's episode, my friend?
Well, you know, Ralph, when it gets down the stretch, I always get a little bit restless because there's not a lot of guys to fight with each other and not a lot of drama. Mm-hmm. But this chick's such a slut, and these guys hate each other so much. I mean, I was pretty riveted.
I felt the same way.
It was
the most engaging sort of third to last episode in a long time. Because
it's not just filler?
Right. No, because they really hate each other. There's a lot of fighting going on between the two guys.
All right.
And she is just an empty-headed vessel. She's just got nothing going on.
Yeah, she's an idiot. And the real problem is she really deeply, she loves the fact that they hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
And even though she's acting like she doesn't, she's one of those women that wants to see two men, like, tear each other's faces off for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll go off and have sex with, you know, some Canadian star like Bryan Adams.
And this is why poor sweet Ben, the third man in the mix, by there's still another guy. It's not just Sean versus Nick. Ben is still in the
there's
picture
still three
at this
people?
Point.
Okay.
And poor Ben just has no shot whatsoever, because P is right. She just wants the drama created by these two a-holes who are fighting for her affections.
Does Ben know this?
He doesn't. This poor son of a bitch.
Man.
He seems like a nice guy, sweet guy, but here's how I knew he was doomed when she said early on in the episode this about Ben.
Ben's just Ben. It's easy and it's nice.
Oh, you're screwed, Ben. Pack your bag.
It's over.
Do you think he got to have sex with her?
No.
I thought they all did.
No.
With this
he went
one.
Into the fantasy suite, and he was wearing that tight sweater.
I don't know, but he was the one she asked earlier in the season if he was a virgin. That's how not a non-sexual vibe she got off of Ben.
Oh. Yeah, but remember, he asked her to tell him whether or not he was unlovable.
Yeah, he's a sad sack.
Wow, that's just pathetic.
So, yeah, I don't think he's got enough gravitas or personality to be the next Bachelor either.
And not enough drama, not enough fighting in him. I mean, last episode, Sean shows up at Nick's room and starts yelling at him, and they have it out. Then this episode, Nick shows up at Sean's room, and he wants to have it yell it out. And here was their conversation.
I don't want to think about you anymore going forward. I just want this to be about me and Caitlin.
Listen, I think it's a real shame.
I just want this to be about me and Caitlin.
I think it's a real shame that we've had to waste time this week talking about each other.
You know what?
You decided not to talk to me, and then showed up.
I had a great time with Caitlin, and I just got back from there, and I don't want to see you right now, honestly. You're the last person I want to see. You're the last person I want to talk to. I don't care if I ever talk to you again for the rest of my life. So how about you just get the out of my place right now?
Dude.
Then they made out.
All right, good chat.
Oh, man.
All
right.
Worked out well.
The last person I would want to talk to would be, like, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, or Hitler or somebody.
Not the guy you've been on the show with for, like, the last 3 months. And here's the other thing. These guys want to argue about, I don't even know what they're arguing about. I don't understand.
Let me ask you guys a question. This is an absurd premise that they're going to find love, blah, blah, blah. But in the middle of it, when those guys are there, they start believing it, right? They really start.
Oh, yeah.
These guys are
really
in it to win it. Both.
Right. They're very competitive with each other, really. Even it's not even about the girl at this point.
Yeah, well, that's just the whole show, though. I mean, that's the trick of the show. They take your cell phone. They let you email, like, 5 minutes a day. The only people you get to see are Mosquito Hands Harrison and this chick.
Stop it.
And a bunch of, I mean, when all you have is that and you're sequestered, yeah, you're gonna freak out every time you get to hang out with this girl that makes out with you.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
it
is a psychological experiment. And as predicted, when they got to the rose ceremony, poor Ben was on the outs. He did not get chosen to continue forward on this journey of love. And in the car on the ride home, he looked back on his experience with Caitlin.
I was definitely changed by Caitlin. I'm a different person now.
Herpes. That's my guess. He's changed for HPV, something. He's got something forever.
He hasn't gotten more exciting, I'll tell you that.
No, he is not.
Like if she gave him her liver. I mean, she's a vapid vessel, just like you said, right? There's nothing to her.
No, she's zero. She's a zero. With a constant duck face, with just duck face all the time, sticking her lips out.
She's scared of birds, but she has two birds tattooed on the back of her arm.
Yeah, she's really on my last nerve, this girl.
I feel like you guys are just making up nonsense.
Well, we hate her. That's what we're saying. But then she gets to meet the families of these two guys. And ordinarily, The Bachelor would send you to each of these guys' hometowns to meet the family.
Right.
I think the budget's running low in The Bachelor because they just brought everybody together in one hotel and she just, like, walked from room to room meeting people's families.
We're all going to Utah. Hey, we like it. We know you guys hate each other, but we'd love it if your families would avoid each other.
Yes.
During the daytime hours, Ben's family or whoever the hell, Sean's family is going to have the lobby. And you guys get to have the pool area.
Like the Sharks and the Jets.
It was really weird. What about the date that they had when she took him golfing and made him strip and run around and golf?
Right?
Now,
what are you talking about?
She made Sean take his clothes off and streak around the golf course because she hadn't seen enough Wang this season, apparently.
Yeah, she wanted to see that thing swing around when he ran on the green. And it's like, what if I was the bachelor and I was on a date with a girl? Say, hey, why don't you strip down with the golf club and cover your genitals and run around out here for us? What do you say?
That would not go over well.
You'd
be
arrested sexism, and thrown off television.
Sexism.
Yes. So she gets to meet Sean's family, and here, you know, the family, I'm glad to see Sean's family supporting him in meeting the woman that potentially he could end up marrying. She could be part of the family.
Sure.
But not everybody could make it.
My mom wasn't able to make it, but today, Caitlin, we'll be meeting my dad, Steve, my older sister, Jessie, my older sister, Megan, and my aunt, Carolyn.
Mom knows this is a sham.
That's so funny. Oh, stop it, son.
I kind of got the impression that Mama, you know, maybe hit the bottle too much.
What's your impression?
Okay.
You know, I got the impression that, you know, things weren't cool with Mom. Maybe she's an agoraphobe mom. You know,
maybe.
Like Kim Basinger is.
Well, if she's not drinking before the show, she will be while she's watching the show because her son is not coming off well at all. Although the two of them, Sean and Caitlin, P, I do think are the loudest kissers I've ever heard.
Loudest kisser.
When every once in a while you get those fun facts on Twitter
right.
that are depressing where it says like you spend 5 years of your life on the toilet or something
right.
stupid like that.
Right.
Literally, these are like 2 hour episodes. At least a fourth of them are just this girl smacking her lips and boxing somebody's uvula with her tongue.
She likes to kiss, that's for sure. And this is the loudest kissing I've ever heard on television. I just brought you in a little. This is unedited. This is untampered with
All right.
audio. This is actually what I was listening to last night.
Wow.
Unless they have a microphone implanted in somebody's head, how are they getting that sound?
In the tooth cavity. What's happening?
It must have a lavalier in her sinus cavity or something. Or else. I don't know how you're picking up that audio.
And this is all over a personal trainer. That's the best part.
And he's a fender head, too, but he's just an idiot.
Yeah, a fender head. That's good. And you know what? He's a lot shorter than I thought.
Yeah.
I didn't see that he wasn't that. I thought he was kind of tall and strapping, but he's like one of those short, swole guys. Nobody likes those guys.
Nobody likes those guys. But now Caitlin's got two men that she's deeply, deeply in love with.
Sure.
And she doesn't know how she's going to say goodbye to one of them. Listen to her distress.
When I think about saying goodbye to one of the two I have left, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do, how to do it. I don't know.
She just doesn't know.
She just doesn't know.
She's not going to be happy till she bathes in both of their blood.
That's right. She really should just give them pistols at dawn and just let the man who survives the duel get the spoils.
So how many episodes left, Ruff?
We have two episodes. Well, I think next week, P, I don't know about you, but it's my favorite episode of the whole year.
How come?
The Men Tell All.
It's the reunion show where they bring all the guys back and they all start sniping at each other. It's wildly entertaining.
It's Ralph's favorite because it's Harrison's time to really shine.
It is. It's prime Harrison time.
to really act above this whole process when he's the one that creates all this crap.
How dare you, sir?
It'll be good, though. It'll be good. But we won't see the two guys that really want each other to die in a fire are not going to be there.
Right.
Because they're waiting for the final episode, and then we'll get to see those guys after the two-hour episode in 2 weeks for the 1 hour of after the final rose,
yeah, okay.
which is like right. Chris Harrison bonus time.
All right.
But
lots
we will
to
get to,
to
see the two guys in their bisexual romance from earlier in the season.
Next week. That's right. Clint and JJ.
We can revisit with them.
I already know what happened there. Somebody from Chicago who's boys with Clint texted me.
You have inside information?
What? Do you want to know?
Yes. Huh?
Can I guess?
A lot of that between Clint and JJ?
Yeah,
and your tie looks good.
They are all boys again.
All good.
See, Clint, they said Clint. talent was there disrupting the show, and they didn't show that. Like, he would, like, they told everybody not to talk when Harrison would come into the room, and Harrison would come into the room, and Clint would start saying stuff like, you know, you know, stuff like just like blurting things out. So they tried to make him look gay, as if there's something wrong with that. In the that's what this guy said.
I like that P has a source.
He's got an inside
and now,
source.
Whenever Clint goes to like a bar or anything in Chicago, you know, everybody's like, "Hey, where's your boyfriend?" And he gets all mad and red faced. It's great.
P, put this on your calendar. You're going to have to come in for the final because that's going to require some real breaking down. I think
2 weeks or next week. I mean, we can come in for the final rose, or we can come in 2 weeks, or I could just camp out there. And
you can just live here.
You work it out with Ralph, whatever you get.
I mean, I've already blown it out in that bathroom like 20 times.
Yes, you have.
The Bachelorette airs Monday nights at 9 on ABC. You can hear P along with his good friend Matt Money Smith this afternoon at 3 on AM 570 LA Sports. This has been the Bachelorette Report.
So we come in this morning, and Bean informs us that today is a very, very important day.
Pluto flyby.
Pluto flyby. Mm-hmm. And Allie looks at me, and I'm like, I don't know what that is. And I look at Chip. She's like, I don't know what that is. What's happening? And Bean is very, very, very excited by this.
Because this is the day we've been waiting for 9.5 years. Look, you guys mocked me back in January of 2005, I guess it was, six?
We don't know because we don't care.
I think it was January 2006, if that's 9.5 years. I'm not good with math. But you guys mocked me at the time when I said, hey, guys, they're sending up the New Horizons spacecraft, and in only 9.5 years, it's going to fly by Pluto. It's going to be 7,000 miles away from Pluto. We're going to get a chance to see what Pluto looks like. And you guys mocked me, and here we are 9.5 years later, and today's the day. It finally arrived. It's here.
We were right to mock you then, and we're right to mock you now.
Look, where's your sense of wonder that this is even possible? That human beings in a room were able to figure out a way to send something more than 3 billion miles.
Do you know they sent a rocket ship onto the moon and people got out and walked around?
Yes,
and
of course I know.
And then got
that.
Back and came and made it home
right.
safe.
That wins. That top sending a camera past Pluto to take a picture.
I didn't
this
say
is
this
better.
Was, I didn't say this was the single greatest thing that's ever happened.
Well, then how can
in
we
astronomy?
Get excited about sending a camera? You're sending an Kodak Instamatic to a place. They shot like a digital camera just threw it at Pluto.
They've never been able to.
Is that how they did it? Yeah, they just threw it at a big slingshot. Right. How are we supposed to be excited about that when this has happened? It's like, okay, so another thing went up and another probe is out there. Fine, it happens all the time.
Because that was us exploring the moon, which is the closest
and
thing
Mars,
in the sky
we've
to
done,
us.
And we've done the Hubble telescope. We've done a lot of this stuff.
Yes, everything is incremental. And this is the latest thing, and this is the furthest out we've ever gone.
It's
and
the
best
boringest.
All right, we don't have a ton of time. But
it's
Bean,
3
would,
billion but, miles away, Ralph.
So they sent something far in space.
So, Bean, because yes. I think this is at the crux of why Bean is so excited. He has a favorite planet.
Right, which is not a thing.
Which
no
is
one,
not a
no
thing.
No one has that.
Well,
by the
I
way,
think Pluto's not
people,
a planet either.
Most people have a favorite planet. It just happens to be Earth.
Fine. So, and it's always been Pluto. That's why on Twitter, his Twitter is at Clyde Tumbaugh. That's the guy who apparently discovered that Pluto. I mean, he's got a long history of loving that specific planet.
Clyde Tumbaugh, who discovered this planet, made his telescope out of a cream separator and parts of an old Buick. Amory.
What is Pluto?
Pluto is right.
He's 24 years old, and he takes parts that are laying around the farm and builds
okay,
a telescope.
Bean, that part is super impressive. Pluto, no. Not. Not.
Look, I am telling you that we have many listeners, and they're not all working at NASA, and they're not all space geeks. We have many listeners who just live in the world who are going to look at those photos that come back tonight and are going to be – it's going to impress the hell out of them
won't.
We were able to get that close
are
to Pluto.
Are they going to have been waiting for it for 9.5 years, which
I'm
is
not
what
saying,
you said?
Did they have a countdown calendar like you did?
I'm not saying everybody jumped on board day one, but I'm saying as we've gotten closer and closer to the Pluto flyby, I think there are more and more people who are kind of getting excited, getting on board. Just like not everybody's watching soccer, Kevin, but it gets to be World Cup time, and you go, hey, wait a minute. The women are playing in the World Cup representing the USA. I'll watch that.
No comparison, by the way.
There's a huge comparison.
Is this
a
World
lot of people,
Cup of Planets?
Yes, it is. This is
no,
the World
isn't.
Cup.
This is even the Summer League of Planets. This isn't the Lakers in the first quarter getting 5 points. Listen, it's Pluto, not even a planet.
Right,
do you
it's
think
not even
that's
a planet.
It, too, that Pluto is somehow diminished in our mind now?
Because it's a dwarf planet. It's no longer even.
And we're not landing on it. This isn't Star Trek where we're going to look around and people are going to get out in suits. It's just a machine that we shot with a giant slingshot. We shot a camera at a rock.
Are people stepping on Mars?
No,
amazing.
Right.
I'll follow it all day long.
I will too. I'll go. I'll volunteer. I'll put on a spacesuit.
But
baby,
you're not going
to just shoot a digital camera
baby
at the
steps,
moon with a BB gun.
Look, did you know that this New Horizons spacecraft is only using the equivalent power of a 30-watt
light bulb? Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
It's a miracle of modern engineering. That's what I'm telling you.
It may be. Don't care.
All right. Let's how about this? Would this be fair? If you guys think I'm the only one who cares about this, what if we open up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067?
So you can put out the word to your nerds?
No, I bet
we
I should
have
find...
done a scientific survey where we have people call in ahead of time.
We should have done. I bet we can find some support from people who aren't nerds, who are just regular people who are impressed that science has been able to accomplish this
thing. We got an email from a guy who works in the space industry. He is a space nerd, and he said, I don't care about this.
That guy's dead. Damaged or something's going on. He got touched. I don't know what his problem is.
Or he got touched.
Right.
All right.
You're the regular one.
Right.
1-800.
You know, I have to stop you. This has become boring.
520-1067. Help me out here. You guys are down with Pluto, right? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Hey!
Pretty good.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 840. We were going to talk about something else here, and that's going to have to be pushed to tomorrow.
Bean won't let us. He just won't.
Speaking of Bean, by the way, it is very rare that Bean gets 100% universal support on a topic like I have on how awesome these Pluto photos are coming back from New Horizons today.
100%, huh?
100%. I haven't heard from a single listener who's not as thrilled as I am by the photos, and that's why we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And we're going to start with my new girlfriend, Kate, who's on line 3 in Woodland Hills. Kate, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. I've got some doubters in the room here with Allie and Ralph and Kevin, but you and I know what's up, right?
I do know what's up.
What do you got going on today?
You love Pluto.
I'm super excited for tonight because Pluto is awesome. It's the only dwarf planet that we know of, and it's 5 billion kilometers away from the Earth.
Right. Okay, given.
This is America, by the way. We don't say kilometers, right?
3 billion plus miles. All right, so what are you doing this afternoon for the unveiling of the new photos?
So I'm going to have all my friends come over, and we're going to have a party. And
they're both coming over?
It's a virgin party.
How dare you?
Make sure you feed your cats first, Kate.
Come on.
How dare you?
How dare you?
And so what? You're going to be who's airing that tonight? Is that the Discovery Channel's got that, right?
Yeah.
God, what?
What are they doing?
Unveiling the new photos, closest photos, the ones that are being taken right now.
And they're only showing them once, right? You're only going to get one look at them, right?
Well, no, they'll be disseminated around the internet.
Well, hell, have a party. No.
But you want to see them live. You want to see that moment when Earth looks at Pluto from 7,000 miles away. Look, here's the thing about Pluto.
But don't you know, and this is a serious question, don't you know about 90% what that's going to look like?
No.
Didn't they just show some pictures of Pluto?
Yes,
they've been
showing photos of Pluto all the way on the New Horizons journey as it's getting closer and closer and closer. But the photos that we're going to see today are going to be like 100 times closer up than the ones we saw yesterday.
And you'll see.
Well, I don't know what we're going to see. I don't know what we're going to see.
I do. Rock. That's what you're going to see. Kate, have a good time at your party to get people together to look at rock.
Thank you for the call, Kate. I really appreciate you listening. All right, let's go to Nick.
I would make the Jonestown cocktail for that party. That's what I would make for them.
Let's go to Nick.
Some Kool-Aid. We're all going to lay down and take a nap.
In Torrance. He's on line 2, and he's up next. Speaking on behalf of Pluto. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. You tell us.
Well, I think this is a huge scientific discovery. Not discovery, but just an accomplishment. And I don't think you should belittle that at all.
Yeah. You know what it is? This is when someone tries to tell me that darts is a sport. And they say, you know how hard it is to hit a bullseye with a dart? You have any idea? And I go, I accept that it's difficult.
Right.
But it's not a sport.
The last time anyone tried to use orbital mechanics to throw a dart at a board, I'd be totally on board.
No, this is space darts. That's what this is.
Yeah, it's very different.
We just threw a dart.
But
and
Ralph,
we could
look at this and go, if it were up to me, I couldn't figure out the first thing about it.
Got it.
It's very impressive.
But perspective. Let's have a little proportionate response here.
But no interest in the photos because it's a planet. Not even a planet.
Pluto up close, though, you guys.
What?
Thank you for the call. Let's go to
your scientific discovery is going to be the ultimate? A desalinization plant.
Let's turn some seawater into drinkable water.
That seems like that might help more.
I'm going to have a party on that day.
Yeah,
that's when it matters.
I'm going to be excited about that as well. It's not an either-or situation.
It is.
You can love them both, Ralph.
But let's get serious. Pluto.
Let's go to Costa Mesa in line one. Let's talk to Jeff.
You know what?
Jeff.
I'm going to stop taking your suggestions on where to go to because you say you're getting 100% of
I am getting 100%
support.
There's not one person who's not
John
down with Pluto.
John and Hacienda Heights, then.
Well, maybe it's 99. Let's see.
Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well,
how you feeling, John?
I'm doing good. Colossal waste of time searching out Pluto. We should be spending our time on sustainable living. I work in renewables, and Pluto is just that. It's a dwarf planet. It's going to be really small when we see the images.
Okay. I'm sorry that he's on our side, but
I'll
is.
I'll take him.
But we'll take him. I mean, beggars can't be choosy at this point.
He does
point.
Eat out of a dumpster, but if you want him on your side, that's fine.
Sustainables, man. I'm with John. Right. Sustainables. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
Here's the thing, guys. It's a big deal. It's exciting. It's something that we worked for a long time, and it completes
Did we all work for it?
Yes.
I don't remember screwing the bolts and nuts together. Do you?
The first stage of exploration of exploring our
planets
own solar system.
Planets that don't matter.
I mean, it really
planets
is.
Planets that aren't planets.
It's significant, you guys. Get on board. It's not too late to get on board.
Okay, I'm on board.
How about you, Ralph?
Are we good?
Nope.
No. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52.
Hey, congratulations to Shay Smith from Lake Elsinore. Did you guys know this was a thing? Imagine Dragons in the Red Bull Sound Space here
yep.
at K-Rock?
Not so yesterday. Yep.
Yep.
Coming up next Thursday, you can go to KROQ.com for another chance to win, but definitely you want to be watching that day at KROQ.com to see Imagine Dragons stop by, one of the biggest bands in the world. Visiting us again here at K-Rock. All right, Dodgers fans, listen up. We're going to talk to Molly Knight. She is a sports writer for ESPN who covers baseball. She has a new book out called The Best Team Money Can Buy, The Los Angeles Dodgers' Wild Struggle to Build a Baseball Powerhouse. How will it end for this incarnation of the Dodgers? We'll find out from Molly coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
I'm the Molly Knight.
It does kind of sound like a superhero, doesn't it?
He's got a big cape on. Why is Dave Grohl the best?
Just is.
There's no answer. There's 100 answers to
He's
that,
just the coolest.
Say. Yeah.
Toronto last Thursday, Foos are doing their show. Grohl's there on his throne made of amps and guitar necks, his leg up, just rocking out.
Yeah.
There's a guy in the front row with a sign up that says, "It's my birthday. Can I come up on stage and play drums?" So Dave looks down and points at Anthony Bifolich and says, "Okay, come on up. Drummer? You think you're a drummer? Come on up." And the guy, of course, was beyond excited. Though Dave did warn him, "If you suck on the drums, I will personally tar and feather your ass backstage." Put him up on the kit, and they broke into Big Me, and the guy was great.
Is that right?
Yeah, the guy did a great job. And
so
everybody...
he knew the song, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, he's at a Foos show. He was a big fan.
How about that?
Awesome.
And I forgot, I've seen the video. I forget what song he says he wants to play. And Grohl's like, "F you, we're not doing that. We're closing with that song. We're not going to do that with you. We'll do Big Me. No, Big Me, we'll do that one instead." And the guy counted it off, and they went into it, and he played the whole number, did a great job.
Takes a lot of guts, by the way, to get up there and play in front of Taylor Hawkins and in front of Dave Grohl.
Yeah, to say you're a drummer and you like beats.
But that's why Dave is so cool, is because he would actually not only consider it, but do it.
Right.
He's having fun up there. I love him for that.
Worst case scenario, had it gone south,
funny.
He would have made that a great moment as well somehow, because he's a consummate entertainer and just a great guy. But I was just so impressed. They just seem to be having so much fun.
They do.
And not once, they say, did Dave Grohl ever lick a donut in
what?
Lake Elsinore. Yeah. No, apparently he has never once licked a donut. What?
Has he left there? Is there still time for him to lick a donut or no?
He's in Toronto. Okay, he was in Toronto, but he could probably
go back,
catch a flight to Lake Elsinore.
Donuts taste good.
That's true.
What are you shooting for there, Kev?
I don't know. Just keep moving.
All right. If you're still looking to star in NBC's adaptation of The Wiz, apparently they haven't found their Dorothy yet. Allie, looking at you.
Yeah.
So they're having auditions again for its live production of The Wiz. NBC's doing another live Broadway show. They apparently could not find the singer-actress they were looking for, so they are once again having a big casting call.
What road should I ease on down to get there? No?
Fine.
The audition is this coming Monday, July the 20th, at the Third Street Dance Studio in Los Angeles. Producers are reportedly looking for a young African-American woman aged 18 to 27.
You got it, Allie.
Ooh, I just missed it, though.
Who possesses the extraordinary voice that can tell a story, as well as be mature, but with a youthful energy. Huh. So, I would like to be down there for the auditions. I would like to watch a la American Idol and see who shows up to the open call.
That would be pretty fun.
Because, you know, there's some people who just shouldn't be there.
Allie, you're going to have a very busy year if you get the Wiz job for NBC and the Empire job for Fox.
Yeah, I hope not.
I can do it.
One's not exclusive of the other.
Yeah. Hope they don't, do a lot of singing on TV.
Hope they don't try to lock you up into an exclusive deal.
Yeah, I won't let that happen.
I wouldn't either if I were you. I'd be Harry Shearer, man. I'd be demanding freedom to work.
Yep.
You know, Harry Shearer's going back to Simpsons. You hear that?
Such good news.
I saw the headline, but I don't know the story.
Yeah. There was a debate about what exactly was the problem with the contract negotiations. Some say it was ancillary money, you know, aftermarket residuals on DVDs and that kind of thing, merchandise, that kind of stuff. Some say it was Harry's desire to be able to do other VO work, and they didn't want him to do that. Whatever it was, apparently he got ironed out, and Harry will be returning to Simpsons for 4 more seasons.
Wow.
At $300,000 per episode.
Wow. Well, it's about 20 minutes work each week for him.
Well, it's
right,
a little more than that. It's a little more than that, but not much more than that.
That's awesome.
And he does it from home, remember?
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, those assholes who work from home, don't get me started, but those are tough.
You don't have
tricks.
Enough respect for your industry and courtesy
right, to go
to
work.
Up at work. Yeah. Just get in your goddamn car and drive to work. To get a paycheck.
Build me a studio so I don't have to leave my home if you're one of those guys.
Yeah, he's a
be taken to task.
How many characters do you think he does on that show?
He's got to do a dozen regular characters as well as some additional as needed, you know. But no, he's a huge part of the show.
He's back.
I can see why. And look, it's not like that show's not making money for everybody involved, so he's entitled to his piece. But when I hear those numbers, like $300,000 per episode a week, that's like a weekly salary.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's hard to get your head around.
Are you saying that's pretty good?
I'm saying it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
it's not what I make here.
Well,
but
what
is,
you know?
Yeah.
Ralph, forgive me if this is a delicate question, but
here we go.
Oh my
is this about this deal again? Because I still don't know.
No, it's not at all. And I mean this with all seriousness. I don't want you to try to twist this in a backhanded compliment. I mean this in all seriousness. Why aren't you the most popular cartoon voice actor in the world, as talented as you are? I feel like you should be doing so many more voices on so many more TV shows than you are.
I am not wanted.
But I find that hard to believe. You're so talented at voices.
You're very kind, and I appreciate your compliment, and I take it in the spirit it was meant. And I've auditioned for a ton of things, and I just do not, they do not want me. There's some quality I am lacking.
I hate to agree with Bean, but that's shocking.
Shocking to me.
However, God bless Seth MacFarlane and Linda, his casting person. She was one of the first people, when I first started this job, called me up and said, listen to you on Kevin and Bean's show. I really like what you're doing. Why don't you come in and do a voice or two for us? And that has become a decade's worth of work on one of the best animated shows on television. I'm very proud of the work that Family Guy does, and I'm happy to be a part of it. But I have auditioned for a ton of other things, video games and cartoons, and you have no idea. And just nothing. They just couldn't be less interested in
all
that.
As you walk out.
I do.
I don't know anything about the industry.
They don't even do it when I'm walking out. They call me at home. I go, hello. They go, poof, and then they hang up. Trust me, it's frustrating for me because I don't think I'm the greatest cartoon voice guy in the world. There are guys who are brilliant at it, like Tom Kenny. I mean, these guys who are just amazing voice talents. But I think I have a certain amount of skills that would be usable. I'd be usable.
I agree.
In a minor capacity on most projects, I think you could find something for me to do. They say. Not interested.
Okay.
Look, you can't argue with failure. That's what I always say. And if they're telling me no thank you, there must be a reason for it. I blame myself. I'm not blaming them. I think there's some quality that successful voiceover actors have that I lack.
You can't argue with failure.
Nope.
It is very rare that we impart that kind of wisdom on our listeners, but I'm happy that we do have an important takeaway from today's program.
It is. It's important. If people keep rejecting you, it's because you are not lovable. That's what you need to know.
And that's something for people who can't get a date to keep in mind, too.
Absolutely.
It's not them, it's you.
Right. If you keep asking a bunch of women out if you're a guy and everyone turns you down, something's terribly wrong with you.
All right.
Can't argue with
that. It's a teachable moment.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jane Lynch is 55 years old today. She, of course, from Glee, as well as other things that she's done that have been good. Kyle Gass. I love Cage. He's the best. He is half of Tenacious D, of course, along with Jack Black. He's 55 today. Jackie Earl Haley, 54 years old today. Matthew Fox of Lost Fame is 49. You know, last time I saw Matthew Fox, now that I think of it, was in that
it was another series.
Bad idea they had for a Tyler Perry movie where he played Alex Cross. Tyler Perry played Alex Cross. It was the character that Morgan Freeman played in Kiss the Girls and everything. It was from that book series. And they tried to reboot that franchise, and they had Tyler Perry playing a tough, grizzled detective. And Matthew Fox was the bad guy in it, and he slimmed down to like 4 pounds. He was just all sinew and stuff and everything. You remember this ringing a bell?
No, not at all.
Anyway, last time I saw him. Scott Porter, the actor, is 36 years old today. Singer of Bastille, Dan Smith, is 29 years old today. A little fun fact, I learned today is also Bastille Day.
Oh, how about that?
Shut up, kids.
Imagine Dragons singer Dan Reynolds is 28 years old. And interim UFC featherweight champ Conor McGregor is 27. Just a matter of time before he's the real deal, right? Before it's official?
Don't know. Jose Aldo.
I don't know if anybody can beat
Jose
him.
Aldo can beat him.
He's got the heart of a warrior.
He does.
He'll take on anybody and he'll fight him hard. He'll hit him in the head with a pint of Guinness and then he'll take a shillelagh and put it right in his sphincter.
I think he said after the fight.
I don't think that's what he said.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Congratulations to Amanda Duarte from La Habra. Just won tickets for Life is Beautiful in Las Vegas. It's going to be a great show. It's got Kendrick Lamar, and it's got Imagine Dragons, Snoop Dogg, Weezer, Death Cab for Cutie. It's going to be fantastic. Your chance to win is coming up at noon.
This is a big week for baseball fans. Not only the Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight, featuring lots of Dodgers, lots of Angels, but there's a book that Dodgers fans have been waiting for a long time that is finally available in stores and online today called The Best Team Money Can Buy, The Los Angeles Dodgers' Wild Struggle to Build a Baseball Powerhouse. I am fascinated to read this book. Can't wait to get my hands on it. The author of the book, Molly Knight, joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Molly. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. Hey, guys. How are you doing? I'm so excited to be here. I grew up listening to you guys.
Well, you're very sweet. And your little friend, Allie McKay, is here with us as well, as you know.
Hi, Allie.
Hi, Molly.
Yes, I grew up listening to you guys. I would stand outside of the warehouse when I was in middle school trying to get Acoustic Christmas tickets.
How about that? Well, I know you're a big baseball fan. You've made it your life's work writing for ESPN. Now you've got this book out. But before we talk about the book and before we talk about the Dodgers, how pumped were you for the change in format for the Home Run Derby last night? People were going crazy for it.
Wasn't it fantastic? I mean, the event was almost – I mean, it was fun before, but it was so long and boring. And yesterday it was just awesome. People love a timer. People love, like, the feeling of the clock running out and, you know – fighting against all odds. It was great.
And that is exactly why I bring up the question, because people's biggest complaint about baseball over the decades and the reason it's lost so much prominence as the national pastime is because it doesn't have a clock and it does move too slowly for most people. Do you think that this is a step toward that direction of maybe one day bringing it into the game?
You know, I think that they just need to shave like another 10 to 20 minutes off of it. People like the idea of going to a baseball game and just chilling out, having a beer. It's sort of this meditative experience. So I don't know that it needs to be like totally, you know, timer running out, all that stuff going on for the whole game.
But, I'm going to just...
definitely speed it up a little bit.
I'm sorry, this is Kevin. I'm only going to make one comment, and that is they could shave off 3 to 5 hours from each game.
Oh, Kevin.
And it would be
Kevin.
Fine. Okay, back to you,
Kevin.
B. I just dare you. Come on, dull.
It's a great game. Right, it's a great game. Every pitch matters.
Back to you guys who love baseball. Go.
All right. Let's talk about the Dodgers. You chose, it's no coincidence that you wrote this book when you did, because the Dodgers organization underwent a major upheaval when the McCourts finally sold the team, and some people in there who are smart, who have a goal to make the best team money can buy, as you put in your title, came together to take over the Dodgers. How do you think the new management is doing so far?
I mean, everything has been fantastic except for the TV deal, which is a disaster, which I think will be sorted. I hope it will be sorted soon. But everything else, as far as on-the-field stuff goes, has been fantastic. These are guys that came in, they said they were going to spend, and they have. And they said they want to win. And you know, last year, they didn't get the result they wanted, so they overhauled their front office. And they spent a ton of money to get smart people in to make decisions, which I think is brilliant because, you know, it's probably better to spend $5 million a year or whatever they're giving Andrew Friedman on the best GM in the game than to give back to some mediocre relief pitcher. So I think Dodger fans are in great hands.
How do the Giants win so often with a much smaller payroll?
Gosh, I don't know. Baby seal tears, unicorn dust. I'm not sure. Madison Bumgarner was unbelievable in the last postseason. So that's a performance that we haven't seen in a long time, and we won't see again. A little bit of luck, but also those guys. It's weird. In October, the game turns into something different. Every at bat matters, and those guys don't give away at bats. They walk up with a plan, and they foul off pitches, and they foul off pitches, and they foul off pitches, and it's just this like death by paper cut. And they're excellent at it, and so are the Cardinals. And that's really why they've been in the World Series representing the National League every year for like the last 5 years. It's been one of those two teams.
I think I might have read, this is author Molly Knight here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about her new book that's available everywhere to buy just this week, called The Best Team Money Can Buy, The Los Angeles Dodgers' Wild Struggle to Build a Baseball Powerhouse. And I think I read, maybe it was in the Vanity Fair excerpt, Molly, you were writing about how the Dodgers have sometimes had the right pitchers for the season, but the wrong pitchers for the playoffs.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's not so much that they have the wrong pitchers for the playoffs. It's just that in the playoffs, a pitcher, you've got to throw up zeros, not vomit zeros, but put up zeros. I just needed to clarify that. That was a bit of a wonky word choice there. It's more important in the playoffs to go, if you're a starting pitcher, to go five innings and throw, you know, no runs in five innings, than to go seven innings and give up two runs. So the problem with that is that you need a great bullpen, and the Dodgers haven't had that. They did not have that last year. That's why it seemed like the Royals, I mean, you look at their starting pitchers, and it's like, James Shields was good, but like, you couldn't even name the other ones, and they're in the World Series. Why? Because all they needed was like four innings in some cases from those guys, and the bullpen was lights out. So I know a lot of Dodger fans want the Dodgers to trade for a starting pitcher at the deadline, which they need to do, would be great. But if they go out and shore up their bullpen, it's not going to be as necessary to get a Cole Hamels or a Johnny Cueto as fans think it is.
Gotcha. All right, we're almost out of time here, Molly. The Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 1988, which I think is a shocking amount of time for a team that has spent as much money as they have over the years.
Yeah.
It sounds like you think Dodgers fans should be very hopeful that a World Series is coming because they're making all the moves you like.
Absolutely. They've got a smart front office, for once. It's like they've got the keys to the Ferrari, and now they know how to drive it. That's what these new owners are going to spend until they get there. And this front office is going to make really brilliant, shrewd trades, and they're going to draft great players, and they're going to sign these Cuban kids, and it's going to happen. I mean, like, baseball is cruel because it's so random. So they might have the best team and not win like the Nationals did last year. But they're going to get there. They're going to win a World Series in the next couple of years. I guarantee it.
When we started, you said that the TV deal would be resolved soon. What does soon mean?
I know.
Because this has gone on for a long, long, long time.
That's why she didn't put it in the book, because she thought by the time the book comes out, it'll be resolved.
Right. Because books close. The people are like, I got criticized by one, I forget what website or whatever, for not writing about it as if I was like trying to cover it up or something. It's like, I can't cover up that the Dodgers aren't on TV. I just thought it was going to be settled. I just thought it was going to be settled by now. I mean, books go to the printer like way in advance, and I didn't want to write a chapter of my book or write about it in the whole book, and then it's like over with and a moot point and no one cares. So I mean, if it's not settled in the next 6 months, there will be an angry chapter in the paperback about it. hopefully it gets settled. You know, these mergers are way above my pay grade, the Comcast, Time Warner, you know, AT&T, DirecTV. So hopefully it gets settled in the next 6 months. I can't imagine this stretching into the third season.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I'm optimistic on that front, too.
Well, we are hoping two things, Molly. We're hoping, A, you never have to write that chapter about the TV deal, and B, that Vin Scully lives long enough to call another World Series. That's what we're all rooting for.
Oh, yes. Hopefully it'll happen this year. Hopefully it will.
The book looks tremendous, you guys. It's called The Best Team Money Can Buy, The LA Dodgers' Wild Struggle to Build a Baseball Powerhouse. Author is Molly Knight. Follow her on Twitter, @Molly_Knight. Really fun to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Bean Show, and thanks for listening for so long.
Thank you so much, and I'll see you soon, Allie.
See you, Molly.
Thank you, Molly. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on, man?
I'm just saying, Beer Mug is the Pluto of the Kevin and Bean Show. He's here. He's not here. Who really cares?
You?
One way or the other, we're good. We're fine.
That's insulting to Pluto.
It's not a big, it's exactly the same thing. You know what's really upsetting, however? Let's get serious for a second.
Okay.
And fall in love?
Can you just take that back now? Because it's a waste of time.
We don't have any more room in the file. The file's bulging.
Just say I'm sorry and let's move on.
ABC has announced that Boring Ben, who got booted off The Bachelorette last night, is going to be the next Bachelor.
Wait, he's the guy that you guys just said an hour ago would be terrible as the next Bachelor?
Yes.
Is this breaking news, Ralph?
Yes.
Okay.
And now, breaking news, Boone.
The sweet but boring Ben, the one who Caitlin said, he's just Ben, he's nice, he's easy. He's going to be their scintillating choice for the next Bachelor.
Why?
I don't know. They always try to choose someone towards the end of the run.
Because they've been on long enough that
they've garnered enough interest and fans and whatever to make it interesting for the next season. But this guy, look, I say it, he seems like a very nice guy. He seems kind and pleasant, but they better up the crazy factor with the women they bring in if they make up for Ben.
I don't know how to do that.
Ben's not going to bring much personality to this. If anything, why Ben H? Go with Ben Z, the big strapping football-sized Ben Z. Oh, he's delicious.
He was delicious.
He was just delicious. But no, so there you go. So now people with this guy for a season. Ugh. It's hard to be a pimp out there. You know what I'm saying? You know.
I know.
Mm-hmm. We were just talking about Omaze earlier in the show.
Yes.
Omaze.com, the very successful charity organization that raises money for all different kinds of charities using this really cool partnership with showbiz, and especially with sci-fi and fantasy films, where they will take a project like J.J. Abrams' Star Wars reboot or Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they will give you an opportunity to interact with your favorite stars in exchange for what basically comes down to you buying a raffle ticket. You enter for a fee, a nominal fee that goes to the charity, and if you're lucky, if they draw your name out of the hat, if you're the lucky winner, then you get to have some really cool events. They just announced another one today, and this one is pretty cool. It's called Star Trek to Boldly Go, and this campaign will benefit the cast's choice of 9 different global causes. And you go to omaze.com/StarTrek, and you and a friend can win a walk-on role in the next Star Trek film, Star Trek Beyond.
All right.
And even if you don't win that, they are picking 6 other winners who will make up the crew, they're calling them, for to be sort of the spokesperson for the To Boldly Go charity campaign. So if you're a Star Trek fan, you'd like to participate, you should go to Omaze, omaze.com/StarTrek. For your chance to win. And there's a video online featuring the whole cast of Star Trek Beyond talking about this and talking about the charity. Here's a little taste of that video.
Star Trek fans, we are back with an incredible announcement. Simon Pegg, if you please stop pressing the button.
Thanks, Thundernuts. This announcement is going to literally blow your mind.
No, not literally. That's homicide.
Yeah, that would be homicide if they literally blew your mind. Thank you, Thundernuts. That's going to be my new greeting to everyone. Simon Pegg's just the best. So, go look at that video and get excited, and then donate some money to some worthy causes. Okay?
Okay.
Cool.
I like it.
I like it, too. I also like Dave Grohl. He's so impressive. He was performing in Toronto and saw a guy in the front row holding up a poster saying it was his birthday and he wanted to play drums with the Foos. So, as only Dave would... Oh, well, not only Dave, Bono would probably do it too.
Yeah.
But he brought him up on stage and let him get behind the kit. Taylor Hawkins, if I was Taylor Hawkins, I'd be like, really? Yeah. Seriously?
Hey, how about a guitarist?
Hey, right. How about somebody singing lead? Why do I have to take the show off? Why am I have to take a nap? But they put him behind the kit, and the guy said he wanted to do, I forget what song it was, but it was the one that he was planning on having the show end on, the big finale. And Dave said, F no, you're not doing that one.
That's funny.
We'll do Big Me instead. And that's the one they did. And it was really impressive. So very cool of Dave to bring a guy up on stage to do that. This was sad news in terms of music. I was very excited about this project. Now it looks like it's been scrapped. Remember initially we talked about it when they announced it, that Rivers Cuomo was going to be starring in a sitcom developed around his life story.
That's right, yeah.
It was going to be about a rock star who decides to give it all up to go back to college, just like Rivers did. There was a pilot that was shot, and Fox has announced they decided to pass on it.
I think that's an excellent idea for a show, by the way.
It really is. And the guy behind us, Steve Franks, was the guy who brought us Psych.
Yes.
It's another show that I loved, and he's a super clever writer. And I had a lot of hope for this because it sounded like something different. You don't see much different on television. So naturally, because it was different, there's no chance for it, and Fox has passed. And here's the bitch of it all. Because Fox paid for the pilot, Rivers has said it can't be shown anywhere else.
So he can't shop it around or anything.
He can't not only shop it around, but he can't even put it on YouTube, or he can't release it to the fans or whatever. So this thing is something we'll never see. We'll never get to see the completed pilot that was shown.
Oh, that sucks.
It does suck. I was looking forward to that.
I mean, I'm not trying to belabor the point, Ralph, you've said it, but I just am imagining all the stories about being a super famous rock star and just leaving it behind and living in the dorms and just being a student on campus and all the situations that would put you in.
Like,
People would never stop being amazed that you were in their chem class.
Right?
Right.
Come on, Fox. What are you doing?
Why don't you take care of it?
Think I've swayed them?
Oh, wait a minute. We were going to cancel that. Then I heard Ralph ask, what are you doing? Now it's back on.
Yeah, there has been no official statement from the brass over there at Fox, but I would look. I'm really interested to know what does the Fox say?
The file is going to collapse under its own weight.
Put it
in
the file.
The Fox say? You people don't get me.
Oh, we get you.
Hey, let me give you something for lasting this long, for getting through this showbiz beat. You've earned something by reaching the end. I've got tickets to a very cool event. If, like me, you're a huge fan of Monty Python, and if you love their movie, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and you loved the Broadway musical, predecessor of?
Don't look at me.
All right. Spamalot is the name of the show, and they are doing three special performances at the Hollywood Bowl. I've got a pair of tickets to Monty Python's Spamalot, August the 1st at the Hollywood Bowl. If you would like to go, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 13. Caller number 13. Let's make that the magic number, and then you will get a pair of tickets to Monty Python's Spamalot. It's going to be a great cast. Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family. Craig Robinson is King Arthur.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be terrific. HollywoodBowl.com is where you can go for tickets and more information in case you don't win. But it's going to be a very cool event. Take a look at these today's celebrity birthdays. Jane Lynch is 55 years old today. Tenacious D's Kyle Gass, also 55. Jackie Earle Haley is 54 years old today. Matthew Fox of Lost fame is 49. Scott Porter, very talented actor, is 36. Dan Smith, lead singer for Bastille, is 29. Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons, he is 28. Conor McGregor, your interim UFC featherweight champion, is 27 years old today. And our pal Linda Polly, who is always so kind to us. She is a contact with the spirit world. She is often in conversations with God and Jesus and John Lennon and other dead people.
Michael Jackson.
Occasionally. Yoko Ono. She talks to Yoko all the time.
Do you mind, Ralph, if I... Yoko's
not dead.
Help Linda give out her web address? Because a lot of people
like to contact her, I'm sure.
Yeah, because of all the stars that she's in touch with. Take it away, Linda.
www.voicesfromspirit.com /V21N5/links.htm.
Okay.
I think I got
lost
that.
You after V21. I'm sorry.
I lost you after WWW.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin DeBeach Show, we have your Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes, which we're doing every morning this week. We have Adam Carolla, and we had to bump because of Bean's obsession with his stupid...
Late-breaking Pluto news.
Freaking Pluto nonsense. Beer Mug is an Uber driver. That's happening. That's a thing that's going on.
Has Uber given up? Has Uber just given up?
I don't know. We'll have to ask. But he is apparently doing that, and it didn't go well for him on his first day. So we're going to talk to him about that tomorrow morning.